Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight, and good to be with you. All right, another live prophetic talk show where we actually do it more than we talk about it, and I'm glad we can do it. I'm glad we can be here for you, be here for the Lord, and spread the news, that's for sure. All right, if you need a prayer tonight, we're here for you, to minister to you, and so make sure and get in, and let's do that tonight. About that, that would be awesome. So, okay. All right. Welcome. It is truly amazing. All right, when you get into the show tonight, make sure and get your hand up if you want prayer, if you'd like to be prayed for. We'd love to talk to you, pray for you, minister to you, whatever you need. There's so much going on in the kingdom of God now, it's kind of hard to keep up with everything, right? Wow. One thing we've been trying to do is to bring to light, what God is doing and where we're at so that people kind of understand where we are, right? Because if you don't understand where we are, you're not going to know where we are, right? So that's what one of the things God does with me is he shares with me kind of where we are, what's going on. As a prophet, you're privileged to sometimes information. It's pretty cool. So we try to share that with everyone. And, of course, it's all free. Yeah, I love to say that, man. There's nothing like saying that. It is free. It's just free. Freely we receive, freely we give. All right. So we are trying to explain to everyone, there's so much going on with the all over the globe, and one of our major networks, Christian networks, has had quite a little blow dealt to it, and it's very concerning. But at the same time, when you understand what's happening and what's going on, you understand what's happening, and you don't freak out. You don't start thinking, "Oh my God, what's going on?" Because right here on PGN, we tell you, for the most part, what's going on. Right? That's what we do. That's what our job is. We're here as servants of the Lord to tell you what God is saying about the season that we're in. And so it's a privilege for the Lord to use us to give the information out and to be a blessing to people. And we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we are going to find ourselves in a position with the Lord because when you position yourself prophetically as a prophet, or you listen to the prophet and you hear what the prophet's saying, and you come in agreement with that, it puts you in a whole different light, a whole different position. It just puts you in a whole different circumstance and situation. And so, because you're more informed, right? You're more into what's actually going on instead of what everybody wants to say is going on and what they think is going on. We actually, the Lord is gracious, and he's telling us what's happening. I talked about last night a little bit, how that we're coming out of two different systems. The first system that we're really coming out of right now is that God is dealing with is judgment to the leadership of the church, in the sense of trying to shake it loose from the systems that we use and the things that we do. Because, like everyone else, we want revival. We want outpouring. We want to see the blessings of God come on all people. And that's what revival really is. It's the blessing of God coming down on all people. So that's what we're looking forward to. So there's a process, though, of getting true revival and true outpouring and true eternal blessings, abiding blessings, instead of just this up-and-down thing. Like our political scene, it's like, we've got a good president, we do good. We've got a bad president, we do bad. Up and down, all around, So God is working on that. That's the main thing that we're seeing happen, is that God is working on that. And so so part of that is we're coming out of the system that we've been in overall in the church. God is bringing us out of that. The leadership, God is dealing with the leadership. We're seeing a lot of the information, especially in the prophet realm, being given out that is, you know, just not good. It's not prophetic. It's not a prophet message. It's human beings trying to figure out something, and it's just really kind of sad. But God is good, and He's telling us what's going to happen, telling us where we're going, and how we're going to get there. Basically, so just like Israel, when Israel was in Egypt, the reason we like to use Egypt as an example is because it's the systems, because we're looking at huge systems. Now, as we're coming out, as God is saying, come out from among them and be ye holy, He's not talking about coming out from the world. He's talking about the church leadership coming out from, you know, mainly merchandising. And of course, that's opened up the church to all kinds of evil. And that's why we don't have a secure, eternal, abiding revival and renewal, because of that. That's opened it up, and so it's just, we've been talking about this for a long time, of course, but I have to tell you what's going on so you can understand. And that's why God is changing it. That's why he's dealing with the leadership, not the sheep so much as the leadership. And so He's bringing the church, the big transition is that we're coming out of the system that we've been in, and God using PGN as an example of being sanctified and set apart. Right, we talked about this last night, being sanctified and set apart. What does that mean? That means, like, in all reality, like the words we got about Biden and Trump, that kind of separated us out from all the other, you know, prophet ministries, if you will. And now with dealing with the merchandising realm and the thing that's going on with speaking about the word of the Lord for Daystar Network, and Daystar Network is a giant. It's a giant. It's a multi-million-dollar, or actually a $1 billion industry, Christian industry, and it is. And we have been very specifically speaking about how God is going to deal with it specifically. Not all the networks, but for some reason, God's chosen that one, and likened it to in some ways to Jezebel and Ahab. Not saying that Joni and Marcus have been Jezebel and Ahab, as you know. Continue to let you know that where I'm at on that, but the way it's going to be dealt with is very, very similar, as you heard us talk about last night. So as we're in the process of coming out of that system, what's going to be the result of that? Well, it's going to be revival. It's going to be outpouring. It's going to be God raising up a whole other generation. Some people calling it, the old guard is passing away. We've got a new guard coming in, new guard system. We have a new, you know, system. His disciples, Peter, James, and John, all those guys, and the 12, and they were the new crew. They were the new leadership, and they were just regular folk. You no longer being a Levite to be a priest. Now it's being chosen by God, by the Holy Spirit, and being anointed by the Holy Spirit, and being used by God in a much broader sense. God is calling people, and He has brought the church, you know, if you will, birthed the church. And when it birthed the church, it left behind the system. We're talking about big systems. That was a huge system. It was the law. It was the prophet. It was Moses. It was, the fact that God brought Israel, out of Egypt. That was a huge system thing going on. So what did we end up with? We ended up with the tabernacle and the temple. We ended up with the law and the prophets, and it was an awesome thing. God had separated out His people. He had separated out Israel and took her into the wilderness, gave her her own currency from Egypt, and began to give her the laws for Israel's religious system, or governing, not even really religious system, but governing system, which was the religious system, the law and the prophets. That was what was governed. That was what was going to govern Israel, right? Not a political thing, but a governing body of a Levitical priesthood. and priests, and then the priest would anoint the kings, and you know, and so and the king would be like David. David was a worshiper of God. He was a king and a priest, and so everything was built around Israel's you know, the law and the prophets, the system that God has set up, and it was a religious system, if you will, you know. And so when the church was born, then we moved out of that big system that came out of, you know, the system of Egypt, the huge system of Egypt, and then it formed its own system, and it became a huge system that all of Israel, all Jerusalem, all Israel, you know, was governed, if you will, by that system. And so now there's a whole nother system coming out of that system. It's called, after the day of Pentecost, it was the birthing of the church. And now the church has been going on for, you know, quite a while. And now we are moving into a new season, a new era, where we are birthing forth a new generation of leadership. That's what's happening now. So we've gone from coming out of Egypt's system with the currency that God gave to Israel. They took the gold and the silver. They built the tabernacle with it. God gave her a governing system that was by the laws and the rules of the Lord God, the, you know, the laws of God, holiness and righteousness. That's how they were governing, you know, Jerusalem and Israel. And so that's God's plan, friend, is for the church of Jesus Christ. Now that the church is came out of that law, from the system of Moses and the law and the prophets, birthed out of that was the church of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. And so that became, was supposed to be the governing. God chose the church to govern the earth, not for to have, you know, politicians, where you have Democrats and Republicans or whatever else any other country has. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's why America is, you know, not going to function the way God wants it to, because it's set up wrong. And so God is now bringing out a people, a church out of the church, leadership. He's judging the leadership. The system the leadership has had has become corrupt, just like it was in the days of Jesus. The system became corrupt. God birthed forth a new one, and then little by little, that became, to a certain degree, there's always a remnant, but there's been, as a general whole, has become corrupt because God has chosen the church to rule the earth. You know, God, Jesus Christ is going to rule the earth through the governing laws of the church of Jesus Christ. That's what he's going to do. The bride and the groom. It's going to be a love fest. It's going to be a love relationship, and the earth is going to be governed and ruled. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. How? Under the power of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not going to be a political thing. It's going to be the way God originally intended it, under the system of the Holy Spirit and the laws of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, governing through the church of Jesus Christ, governing the earth. So now we are in the process of heading toward that, right? So God is taking out of the church we have now, God is judging the leadership, changing it. Many of them have not repented and are not going to repent of it because their system is built around all that. So God knew that. I knew that. I talked about that for the most part, they were not going to come out of that. And so, what we've done is that we are now been prophesying this for a while with the intention, with the purpose of saying that what's going on is that we are, God is raising up, the next level, the next era of the church of Jesus Christ. And PGN is a big, big part of that. We've seemed little. We seem like not much. We seem like we're not really doing anything. And then those of you who listen and know and listen on a regular basis, you know what we're touching. You know that the political arena, how God has used us to touch that and talk about that and be separated out and be sanctified apart from all the other church leadership. You see what I'm saying? That's what God's doing. He's using PGN and myself to be the only ones, so to speak, you know, that prophesied certain things in the political arena. Because why was God using us to change the political arena? Why? Because he doesn't want Trump and a good government to rule. He wants the church to rule. So that's the main motive behind the whole thing, is that he wants the Church of Jesus Christ to begin to prepare the way for the Messiah, who will come and rule over the church, and we will rule and reign with him. That's the ultimate goal of where we're heading. And this process has taken on a new era. We've entered into a new dispensation, a new season for sure. And it happened when Biden became president of the United States of America. And so now we're going to see, first of all, we're going to be we're going to have a church coming out of the church that's going to be sanctified. It's going to be set apart. And that's why PGN has been, the message that we've had has been a little bit different, because because the church has gotten so used to it that it's lived with it, and it's just totally wrong, totally not of God. So God has chosen us to call out the church, say, listen to the message of the prophet, listen to the prophetic words, listen to the message of the revelating prophet, that God is raising up to raise up other prophets, to raise up other ministers, so that we can be the beginning of a new church, if you will. And that's why we're forming, PGN Church. We are forming a new organization called PGN Church. And so that's being done as I speak. So I don't want to overload everybody, but I'm trying to give you an overall image of what's happening here. And so when this thing happened with Marcus Lamb and the fact that we had been talking about God dealing with him and dealing with Joni and Marcus, and that God was going to judge that situation. Now we see that that has happened very sharply, very deliberately, very specifically, because we spoke about it 2 or 3 weeks before anything ever really began to happen. Maybe a couple of months, even 2 or 3 or 4 months ago, we spoke specifically about Daystar, specifically about Marcus Lamb, and the whole thing. And so now you're starting to see that when, like in the days of Moses, when Israel, when he went to Pharaoh to say, by this time tomorrow, this plague will be, the plagues were controlled, if you will, and God wanted it to be so, that Moses, when Moses said there was going to be a plague, and Moses and Aaron, then there was a plague. When the plague stopped and Pharaoh says, please stop it, then Moses would go, now stop it. And so that's what they would do. Just like Elijah, when Elijah prayed and it rained, quit raining, just like when he prayed again and it started raining. Right? It's like God uses the prophet to show that God and his word are in control of what's going on. And this is kind of what's happened with Joseph Biden and Trump, the political arena, as we've been a part of, and now dealing a really heavy blow to the merchandising realm at Daystar Network through the precious Marcus Lamb, who just happened to not be able to give up merchandising, which is sad. He could have done it, but God hardened his heart. We've talked about that. God hardened his heart and will harden Joni's heart. Joni is now doubling down on the anti-vax and all that, which is just the setup for what the next phase is. And we talked about that a little bit last night. So now that this has gone on, the purpose for all of this and the purpose for talking about it is that God is trying to share with his people where we are headed, where we're going, what's next. Why did this happen with Marcus? Why did we talk about this 2 or 3 weeks and 2 or 3 months before it happened? And then it happened. Now, nobody said he was going to die, but we said God was going to deal with him and bring him down and bring Daystar Network down because of the merchandising. And so we see the process of that has definitely had a death blow, literally, to it, sad for their family and all that. But we have to speak very plainly as prophets. That's exactly what's going on. And so send your love and your prayers toward the family. It's a difficult time for them, and especially with what's about to happen, what's about to go on, it's going to be, God is going to, is hardening Joni's heart so that she can keep on pursuing after that, just like Pharaoh did, and then God using it like a show, because God hardened Pharaoh's heart, just like Joni's heart being hardened by God, just like Marcus's heart was hardened in that area by God. And because he's using it, because we prophesy about it, we talk about it, and then it happens. We prophesy about it, we speak it specifically, and then it happens. All right. So God is trying to line up the prophet and PGN as what he's doing to bring forth the new church, the pure church, the church of Jesus Christ, and bring all the sheep under the new leadership. Because that's what's going to happen. We're going to see a transition because the sheep are going to quit trusting Joni and Daystar Network and other networks like that. But we're speaking very specifically about Daystar because this is what God's dealing with right now. We'll talk about all the other networks later. But this is what he's chosen to speak about because he's trying to say, you know, the time has come and is now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right? Y'all seeing that? It's at hand. I mean, it's literally happening. It's literally coming to pass. And so the purpose of all that is because, you know, God is, we're in a new dispensation. We're in a new era. And all that is, you know, all that together equals we're moving on. And it's finally happening. Some of you are like going, is this ever going to happen? Is anything that Prophet Randy's saying, even though we see things happen, you know, in the political arena, is any of this stuff with the merchandising realm ever going to happen? Is he just keep talking about? He's going to keep just talking about this, which is understandable. You know, is he just going to keep saying this and nothing's really going to be done about it? Well, it has begun to be official that it has had a real death blow blown bluntly placed upon it, and the head of it, as we've talked about many times, Marcus Lamp. Literally a death blow has been dealt to this, and it's just the beginning. And the next levels and the next steps that go on with Daystar Network will be the sign of the times of where we are, because mainly we speak about it specifically, and then it happens. We speak about it specifically, and then it happens. Right? You kind of get in the drift on that, and so this is very important to watch this. Now, what we talked about last night, that I said the next level. With Daystar Network, it's going to be once there's blood in the water. Right now, we have like blood in the water, like the sharks, you know, and you get blood in the water, they all start growing, going in. And when blood gets in the water with a shark, they just lose their mind. They go into a frenzy, and we're going to see this go on with Daystar Network with the family, and because there's blood in the water, and this happened with King David. We're not going to get into the scripture specifically tonight, but those of you who are familiar with King David and what happened once he committed the adultery, and then not just the adultery, but had you know, Bathsheba's husband killed deliberately and tried to cover it up, and then the prophet came and told him, "You have really messed up." And the sword. Now listen to this: the sword is never going to leave your house. It's never going to leave your house. And it was dealt a really heavy blow because it wasn't just adultery. In that case, it was the murder of her husband and the hiding of it. And then God showed the prophet, and the prophet came in and said, you know, now we're going to see, you know, the sword, and it will never leave your house. And so it never left David's house. God still used David in many, many different ways, but the favor was removed from him because it was revealed in that. Now listen to me closely. It was revealed in that the family just fell apart. The family started turning on each other. David's sons it was basically known that Solomon was going to be king. That was all kind of private under the covers, so to speak. But David had promised Bathsheba that Solomon would be king, and yet, you know, David's other sons, and you have to listen really close, David's other sons began to go crazy. I mean, just things started, there was blood in the water, and his sons just began to lose their mind, basically, and try to take it over. There's a big fight went on with that. Well, it finally got settled, but it was a really big deal, and it never stopped. David lost his sons. And they rebelled against him and God, and tried to take over. And because of that situation, it really messed up the kingdom of David. Was as far as the kingdom itself and his family were really messed up. And this is what we're talking about with Daystar and this whole situation, because It's not because of the bad people. It's just because one of the reasons is it's biblical. The other reason is God's going to use it as an example of shaming the doing a big shame game on on the system. Jesus is taking the whip and he's driving out the money changers and dealing with that system. He's not really wanting to deal with the people. The people just happen to be in control of the system. Therefore, the show will be about the people, but mainly it's about, we can never forget what this is about. This is about the system. This is about the system of merchandising, which we've been talking about as a long time. Okay, so I hope this was a clear overview of where we've been, where we're going, and the purpose of things so that you can get a grip on it. Some people are going to believe it. Some are not going to believe it, of course. That's why there's going to continue to be more, not more plagues, but more, they may be considered plagues. There are going to be some very difficult situations that we're going to prophesy about. We will prophesy about them for the most part, and they will begin to happen, all right? Just like the Biden thing. We prophesied about that. We're the only one. God sanctified and set us apart, right, for the work of God, to show who's being used of God and who's not at this time. When God transitions to a new group, that's what transitions, that's what changes. The leadership, it's all about the leadership. Who's the leadership here? You know, God has chosen me and others that work with me to be in leadership. And so we're seeing a transition of leadership. And PGN is going to be a front row seat on that. Of course, we're pioneering this thing by the grace of God. So it's going to be, so it, just like it took 10 plagues to convince the globe and the world that God was the God of the biggest, he could rule over the, and take down, now listen to this, God could take down the biggest nation in the world and bring it to its knees, you know, by a prophet and his sidekick, Aaron. So when you see how God gets ready to do something, he doesn't need an army. He's got an army, it's called angels. He's got an army, it's called plagues. He's got weapons. It's called plagues and weather, and that kind of thing. And those, and we're going to start seeing those things happen. And you must not fear. The reason that we're saying this before it happens is so that you won't fear when it does happen. You go, well, yeah, but God told Prophet Randy about that, or whoever. So we don't have to fear, because this is not against us, because we are not merchandisers, number one, and we're not the leadership of the old. You know, it's going to pass away. We're not the leadership, because God's not going to judge us. We are the new leadership, and we are the new thing. We are the new wine and the new wineskin, and God is going to raise it up. And it's going to begin to happen in ways that you're going to be totally shocked as this unfolds, that God is very plainly speaking to a very specific prophet, and that's myself and us, the PGN, that we are in the front line. We're right in the center of everything God's doing prophetically in the globe, in the world, and these major things like the political arena and also the church and with Daystar Network, and how that we are headlining and frontlining on this. So God is trying to say, hey, listen to the voice of the Lord. I have a new voice. I have a new voices being raised up. And so this is kind of it in a nutshell, friend. So get ready. We're going to see a lot of major things happen. You know, we used the example of Jezebel and Ahab. I'm not saying Joni is Jezebel and Marcus Lamb was Ahab, but if you look at the story about that, that like I talked about last night, Ahab was the new wine movement, and so God is opening up. The reason it's called new wine and new wineskin is very important because it's a new thing. It's a new thing. That's why God separates out and sanctifies it. That's why God gave us the word about Biden and how Trump was not going to do anything, and never win anything. And the presidential election, all that, the transition that went on with that and the way it happened was to sanctify and set apart PGN. We were the only ones. Talk about that, the only ones. Which, what does that mean, that we're so holy and wonderful? No, not really. It's just saying that God has chosen us to do this job. He's chosen us to do this work. And so that's why it's working. That's why all this stuff is happening. And we must know that and understand what's going on so you can go know what you're a part of. Know that you're not just a part of some little something. We're trying to, like, you know, be cool and be tough and, you know, speak some really bad words and really tough words on people and things that, you know, there's a purpose behind all of it, every bit of it. And so when you begin to realize the purpose of it all and see it and how you specifically and we and I am very involved in this in the front line, it's going to maybe help you not give up, not give in, not yield and say, I don't think anything's really ever going to happen with this. It just seems to go on and on and on and on. You know how our flesh does. Our flesh talks like that. It happened with Egypt. In Egypt, when God was bringing Israel out, they kept talking about Moses. Oh, Moses, you know, it's been 7 plagues. We're still not out of here. What's going on? On and on and on. Nothing really. So that's just kind of the way it works. But after 10 plagues, and the last one had to do with protecting Israel specifically, but there was a purpose, there was a reason for why the last plague had to do with specifically covering Israel, or we're going to say the body of Christ, with the blood in the covenant, because the covenant is going to be everything in the end times and for our protection and for the glory of God to protect us and keep us and watch over us. All right, I'm trying to nutshell this thing, trying to bring it in an overview of what's going on. I think maybe you guys can see that the Jezebel and Ahab thing. You know, Ahab in the Bible was killed first before Jezebel was killed. The prophet prophesied that Jezebel would be taken out, that the dogs would eat her flesh and lick up the blood and all that. Kind of a nasty prophecy, but that's just what prophets do. We prophesy some pretty rough stuff sometimes. And so we've got to speak it the way God gives it to us. So when it comes to pass, you can see that it's the Lord speaking and not just somebody trying to make up something, right, come up with something. So this is what's happening. Ahab was taken out with an unintended arrow. I don't know if you know it, but Joni is the one who first got the COVID, gave the COVID to her husband, of course, and he died from it as an unintended arrow. And he was taken out first. Ahab was taken out first with an unintended arrow. Just look it up for yourself to see what I'm talking about. And then later, there was a we're going to get more into the details of this. There was a situation where Jezebel was pushed out the two-story, which we talked about months and months ago, that the two-story and Jezebel and Joni and all this, the second heaven, which is where the satellites are, and that whole thing, dealing with a blow to that because of the merchandising realm and getting God's people to continue to buy and sell, an abomination to the Holy Spirit. And it's the great whore, if you will. So pretty tough language, but being very specific as we can about what's going on. And this is what's happening. The next level is about to happen. The blood is in the water. David's like when the blood got in the water with David, when David was told by the prophet that the sword is never going to leave your house, the blood was in the water. Sword bringing blood to David's household. Blood is in the water, in the household. And the same thing with the Dishonor Network and Marcus and Joni's family. We're going to see that go on. It's going to be difficult. Pray for them. But God's very much in control of it. He's hardening the hearts. He's the one dealing with it. Because he's going to make a big show out of it. You know, just like he made a big show out of Egypt. Egypt was not a beautiful thing, but it was a show that God put on to reveal his power and his authority and the authority of the prophet Aaron and Moses. And that God was speaking through people, right? All right, so there you go. That's it. Now we're going to watch some more so-called plagues. I don't know how many plagues there are going to be or how many difficult situations. I don't really consider Joseph Biden a plague, but maybe it's a plague, like a plague in some ways. The thing with Marcus, that was kind of a plague. It was kind of a, you know, hit by the plague, actually. Kind of sad. But so we're going to see more of that. More that's going to be coming. Like, there are 10 plagues in Egypt. They're going to be, God hasn't told me how many plagues we're going to have before the system is turned around, before we actually come out of this. But we're in the process of coming out of it. We're not just coming out of a worldly system. We're coming out of the church system first. And then as the church comes out of it, then we'll be prepared to come out of the, at the same time, basically, we'll be coming out of the Egyptian system, out of the world system, and the Antichrist system will begin to be set up, and we will be separated out from that for God's full, sanctified, holy, pure provision. And it will be amazing and awesome, the provision that the Lord is going to provide for his people. Get ready. We're going to see, you know, all kinds of things going, finances, miracles, signs and wonders of all kinds. And God's going to use you guys. He's going to use all of us to do that. It's going to be in order. God's got an order he's doing it in. But it's going to be amazing. So rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, because we've been chosen by God. It's amazing, man. It's so amazing. We have been chosen by the Lord, y'all, to be a part of this thing right in the middle of it, or right in the middle of this hurricane, right where the peace is, right where the peace is, right in the middle of the hurricane. And the hurricane is going to sweep across and destroy everything that's not of God. All right. No, not yet. No, that hasn't happened yet. Somebody's saying about the Antichrist being possessed already. That has not happened yet. That's not going to happen for a little while. But when it does, we'll let you know. All right, y'all. Well, I think we are ready to take callers tonight, see what's going on over here in the EGN community. I tried to nutshell everything tonight to give you an overall view, put it all together so you can see where we're going and what the wonderful results are going to be, and how the Lord is going to, you know, he's purifying us and sanctifying us and setting us apart by miracles, and some really odd miracles, some plaguish type miracles, if you will. Like I say, I'm not calling Biden a plague. It may seem like it, but I'm not saying. Well, anyway, there's plagues going on. So, but we're going to see them, and God's going to be somewhat using us to, if you will, to speak specifically about them. And we're going to watch them unfold to shake up the earth, to shake up the church, to bring the church, to shake it so that it will find its foundation on Jesus again and worship Jesus and the Lord God Almighty. And it's just really going to be awesome. All right, y'all, let's take callers tonight. And, okay, any comments on the video you sent with Prince Charles? Okay, you got anybody get a chance to listen to that video I sent out everybody to? I sent a video out to everybody. Andrea sent to me. I thought it was pretty cool. I don't send out everything I get, but I thought that was pretty cool. And I sent it out to everyone about Prince Andrew talking about what they think is the Antichrist. Anybody get that? If you didn't, it should be on your text. If you don't get our text alerts, then you didn't get it. But if you get our text alerts, go to your text alerts, your text, and check out the video I sent. And they're calling it something about the Antichrist. I can't remember what the name of it is, but very, very interesting. Okay, are you on, Nikki, are you on our, you're on the alerts, right? Yeah, if you're on our alerts, where we alert you when there's shows, like when Deborah was on, we alerted you that through text. It's on that set of texts, so you have to go back and look at it. If you don't get our text, I'm pretty sure, Nikki, you get our text. If you don't, Noelle says. Oh, she said she shared the video with quite a few people. Yeah, Noelle says she shared it with quite a few people. Very good, Noelle. Awesome. How they speak is frightening. Yes, it is. We're entering into a season about this. I mean, we've kind of talked about it here a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, everybody, I believe. So if you don't get that, let me know and I'll get it to you. All right. Thank you. Let's see. We're going here to, Yeah, we talked about how the Antichrist name is starting to come up more on PGN. And how that I was telling you guys, a couple of weeks ago, I can't keep up with all the weeks, but yeah, I was sending that to you. Okay, how that we have had a couple of people on PGN who have sent me the name of the Antichrist, and I told them that it was I actually confirmed it. So that was really, really big for me. That was really, really, you know, you guys know we kept it secret for, 10 years? And so the fact that all that's happening now, starting to happen, and then, you know, like the video that we sent out to everybody, you know, it's just stirring around. It's stirring around. It's God trying to say to us, to all of us, that get ready. Get ready, because it's happening. Get ready. That's what we've been trying to do, prepare people. Some of you have listened to the preparations very seriously. Some of you haven't. Some of you kind of been taking it a little lightly because you haven't been sure, and that's okay. And God's going to help you to take it more serious. The more you see these things happening, just like with Israel, when they saw, after they saw 10 plagues, they were pretty convinced that, yeah, this really is God. This isn't just weather. This isn't just happenstance. This is really God doing this. So sometimes we have to have several things go on because it, there can just be some circumstantial things that go on in life, right? A lot of circumstantial things go on. So we have, God has to make it so that it's not circumstantial as far as the way it looks and appears. It has to be definitely a God thing. And so so he's going to do enough of those, however many, I don't know how many. God didn't tell Moses how many times he was going to plague Egypt. In case you guys didn't know that, he did not tell Moses how many times he was going to plague Egypt. He just told them. He told them that he was going to, you know, harden Pharaoh's heart, and that's all he knew. Have I released his identity yet, or did they say who this person with access to Treans is? No, they didn't say who the access to Treans was. I don't know who that is. We don't know who that is. I don't know who he's talking about. He may be talking about, I don't know what he's talking about. But it looks like it's the Antichrist, or at least something to do with it. No, they haven't released that name. I don't know. I really don't know the question, but it's all going to be revealed here. You know, I think I shared this a couple of months ago that after the thing started happening here on PGN, where two people confirmed the name without me telling them the name, started showing me that after 10 years, it's time. That's all I can say. It is time. So be prepared. Get yourself ready. Be faithful to God. Do what God tells you. Don't be compromising and giving in to compromise. Make sure you're doing what God wants you to do every day. And I guarantee you, friend, you'll be good. You'll be good. All right, what am I doing here? Let's go here and, okay. At very least, world domination using military. What do you mean by that? At the very least, world domination using the military. Oh, you think that video, speaking of the military being dominating, taking over? Noel, is that what you're saying? I think you're right. I hadn't really articulated any of that. But yes, they said use the military. Yeah, they did. They did say use the military. And this was Prince Charles. Who was in line to be the king, right, as they brought it in the video. So it was very interesting. I was a little surprised by that. It was a little bit different, and I was taken back by it myself. I mean, I just like going, what are they saying? You know, and I'm very much into it, and I was a little taken back by it. So, okay, let's take callers tonight. and see what's going on with everybody and see, maybe we'll talk this stuff up a little bit. Hang on. He said a military style campaign, which will be very aggressive, a very aggressive way to implement their plan. Right. That's pretty specific. Shannon shared that. I think that's right. He said equally as a, who the false prophet? Oh, equally as who the false prophet is. True. Okay. Very good. He also said, Shannon's saying, he also said in that video that he said a military-style campaign, which will be a very aggressive way to implement their plan. Wow. Dude, this is crazy. I had a vision of working on it 2 days ago of the guy getting possessed. Didn't see who it was, but I feel like it just happened. You know. Well, doesn't mean it happened right now. I mean, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think you're wrong, but that's not going to happen until 3.5 years when the Great Tribulation begins. That's when Satan enters into him. The possession does not take place until the last 3.5 years. So I don't see that yet. But good point. Well, you know, God just connected me to it. That's the only reason I have any info. I would have nothing. If God had not connected me to it personally by giving me his name back in, you know, 2009, 2010, you know, if he hadn't given it to me back then, and connected me. When God gives you a name supernaturally, it connects you to who they are and what they're going to do and what's going on. So I do have a connection with it as a prophet. When God personally gives me information, anytime he's ever done that, like when he gave me Joseph Biden's name, what he does is he connects you to that person as a prophet. And because God gives a name represents the person and who they are and what they're called to do and be. So it connects you to them. And that's why I'm connected. Other than that, it's like I had Michael came and showed up in a dream and, you know, something went on there. And it connected me to him, which he's the head angel of Israel. And yeah, on and on it goes. But now everybody's going to get a little different things. You know, you can share your stuff all you want to. I'd love to share it. If you get something, you feel like you're getting something, you know, you want to get it out there, we'll let you do that. It's not a problem. So no big deal. But if I choose to disagree, it doesn't mean that I'm right, but I can share it. We give people the freedom to share their stuff. All right, hang on. We are getting ready to take callers. We can talk about this a little more. Okay. All right. Let's take our callers tonight. All right, so if you want to talk to me tonight, get your hand up there, and let's do that. Shannon said he dreamed, had a dream about the Antichrist in 2008. Dream lasted 1 second. It was so intense, I sprang up from my couch. I couldn't see his face, so I don't know why, but felt his demonic power was so strong. I had to turn my back on him and call out to Jesus. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Hey, the only way I saw his face was that when God gives you his name, you Google it. That's what I do when I get names. I Google them. You know, and that's the only way I knew his face. And believe me, when you see his face, of course, I have old pictures. I don't have any recent pictures, but it's very interesting. Very, very interesting. You just about have to be a nutbag to say you know who the Antichrist is, right? See, y'all know I'm really stepping out there, willing to look like a nutbag just for you guys. Yeehaw. Ride 'em cowgirl. Ride 'em cowboy. Ride 'em cowboys. All right, you want to talk tonight? That hand up, and let's do that. Okay, let's go here to Nikki and Charles from Florida. Hey, Nikki Leah, hey. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Randy?
I'm at it, girl. That's about it. I'm still out of town. I'm working my kibbutzy off during the day, so if I seem a little bit, my voice is weak and tired, it may be right. I don't know, but I'm doing great. I'm having a blast.
Okay. You get moving right along, and your family is happy for what you're doing to them, huh? In their house?
Yeah, to the house, yeah. We're just, it's kind of a long story, but, yep. So they're extremely thrilled because I know how to do all this. I did it for years. I haven't done it in a long time, but, yep. So I'm able to be a blessing to one of my family members, and it's pretty cool. So let's pray for you and you and Charles. And let's meet you just for a second here. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki and Charles. God, we thank you, Lord, for divide and set apart information, God, when you sanctify someone and set them apart, that means that they stick out. That means that they're different. That means that they have, you know, God has done. Just like when I think about you and Charles, how you guys have such amazing testimonies. I mean, there's a lot of testimonies around the globe, right? But I don't know that many of them. Not like y'all. Y'all's testimony is amazing. And so it's kind of like that's a separated and sanctified and set apart thing. You know, the way God delivered you guys, the way God set you free, the way God saved you and, you know, moved into your life. And, you know, it's really, really cool. It's really a real story that, you know, we've been glad to share here on PGN a little bit with our God's people. And so, you know, I think the sanctified and set apart, some people call them the remnant. I'm not sure if it's the remnant thing. I really don't like to use the word remnant much, even though it's a beautiful word, because it's been kind of been abused. Like, you know, some people think of the remnant as it's just us few and no more. So I'm not sure. I like the remnant may be a little bit bigger than we think, but I'm not sure about the – I don't like to use the word remnant because it's been so misused, but it is a beautiful word. But so that kind of thing, the remnant, sanctified, set apart, and called by God. And so usually it shows up one way or the other in your life when you've been set apart, when you've been sanctified. You know, it shows up somehow, some way in your life. And I think with you guys, with your life and the way God has delivered you and brought you out and brought you through, that you definitely, you know, have that. And I think it's pretty obvious that you guys have that going on, right? So, pretty cool. All right. I don't even know. That wasn't really much of a prophecy, but just kind of maybe a confirmation or something. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk. Let's see what's going on. So how are you doing? What's the Lord showing you, or what do you got going on?
We're just doing things, you know, Charles's arm and all, and it's healing up pretty good. But, you know, that sanctification, when you said that word, I guess it was about, I don't know, a month or so I was walking with the Lord, and I actually heard the audible voice of God. I was about a month into my brand new walk. I was delivered and all. And I was in my bedroom by myself. And I was just sitting up in my bed, and I had no friends or no family or nothing. Everybody just thought I was in some kind of weird cult and everything. So I was just sitting there by myself, and I heard the audible voice of God. And I think it's the one and twice I've ever heard his voice in 25 years, and it audibly. And all he said to me was sanctification.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. Yep. And I didn't know what it meant.
That's cool.
I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know what it meant. And so for the longest time,
yeah,
I just kind of didn't tell nobody because I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't want nobody to be like, you know, talking about it and me look like who did it and why, you know, so I just kind of kept it to myself for a long time.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I found out what it was. And then I was like, okay, well, I didn't realize the fullness of it. You know, you can read a definition of something, but what does it really, yeah. you know, the missing middle part that they don't talk about. They talk about the beginning of yeah. something and the end of something, but the middle part. And it's a real process. It's a real process. It's a humbling one, for sure. And I don't know if you ever yeah. come to a place where you completely sanctify. I mean, I could be wrong, but when you started prophesying about that for me and Charles, it is so fitting. And not too many people know that the Lord spoke that to me.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Well,
when you said it, I was like, wow.
When you think about sanctified in the way that it was being said, was that it's like when God sanctified Israel, he set her apart by, number one, by, you know, when the plagues hit Egypt, it didn't hit Israel. What was that? He was separating them from the destruction of the world. They're separating them. And then the whole process was every time a plague would happen in Egypt, it wouldn't happen to Israel. Right. So they were, the word sanctified, I think can kind of go different ways. But one of the things I think that it's meaning at this moment, at least that I'm seeing, is that it's like God is saying, I've sanctified you and set you apart. In other words, that sanctified thing is on you, where God has separated you out and saying, I'm separating you out from other people, other things, from the globe, from the world, you know, from the ordinary, regular things. You know, I've separated you out and called you and chose you to be separate, you know, I'm going to show people that I've called you and chosen you, you know, kind of a thing. And so that's kind of what I'm interpreting that a little bit as.
Oh, okay. Well, that kind of makes sense.
I don't think it's what you're saying, too, for sure. I mean, it's what you're saying. It's definitely that. But when God sanctifies, sets us apart to do a work in us. So being set apart means, sanctified means he set you apart to do a sanctifying work in you. So is it ever finished? I'm not sure that it's ever finished. But when he says, I've sanctified you, that means, like he told Israel, I have set you apart. You know, I've chosen you to. I'm gonna rain down, you know, my wrath on the evil Egyptian gods, but I'm not gonna touch you. I'm gonna show that you're separate from all that.
Yeah.
So, and yet God was sanctifying Israel by cleansing her, by washing her. So it's kind of an original thing where he says, "I'm gonna sanctify you," and then he sanctifies you because he sanctifies you. He set you apart.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense for me and Charles. I mean, I'm not going to speak directly for Charles, but I will tell you this from experience of being with him for 20 years. We have seen being set apart is not always fun. As a matter of fact, me and Charles look at each other sometimes and we're like, do we have a booger on our face or something? And people are running from us. What is this? that's probably not a good analogy, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's almost like sometimes you feel like, what's wrong with us? Why are we, you know, not fitting in? And it could be even the church world, too. It's like very
yeah.
strange. Or they want to question, you know, when God's doing something in somebody's life and you really can't explain it. You just know it's God. And then when you try to explain it to someone in authority, and they don't, you know, you don't always explain it right, because who knows the depths
yeah.
of God and all that. And so you look crazy sometimes, you really do, and it's difficult at times to walk through that. It definitely will tear down any kind of pride you might have, or if
yeah.
you want to boast or anything, you won't be doing that. That's for sure.
When you think about sanctified, when you think about specifically Israel is sanctified, you when you read scripture, you find that because God set them apart from all the rest of the world, literally. I mean, Israel was his people, you know. What did they do? They suffered, you know, big time because of that. You know, and you read the book of Hebrews, and it talks about how that, you know, being a Jew wasn't exactly, you know, the most wonderful thing in the world, though you were blessed. But he said they were sawn in half, they were persecuted, you know, because they were set apart. So people don't understand being set apart means it could be some problems for you. You know, you could suffer some things like a booger on your face or whatever that is.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know how else to explain it because that's awkward. You walk into a room and certain people can walk in the room like, hey, what's going on? Blah. You walk in the room, they're like all turn their head, put their head down, turn their face. And they're, you're like, okay, is there something on me? Do I smell? What's up?
Yeah, what is
I know
that?
We're no different than other, you know, the others. And so it's like, I don't know. I ain't never done nothing. Have you done something to them, Charles? Charles be like, no. You just
yeah.
like, you look
at
you question each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, it's good to know.
Cool.
And it's an honor, but it's not glamorous, like you said. But.
Yeah. Right.
What's
well, look what happened with Joseph.
Randy?
Huh?
I said, what you going to do with that, Randy, you know? I mean, God
Don't
calls
ask
you
me.
And sets you apart.
Well, look what happened with Joseph. When God set Joseph apart, look what happened to him. I mean, his
yeah.
daddy just thought he was the greatest thing in the world. But did his brothers? No. His brothers thought, you know, he's got a booger on him. Let's get rid of him, you know, type
yeah.
thing, you know. So it's you know, it has its blessings, and yet at the same time, you know, even with Joseph is one of the, and you talk about Job, also Job was another one who was set apart. I mean, he was very set apart, and look what happened to him. I mean, he was very blessed, but he also went through a lot of trouble, a lot of lost his children, you know, the whole thing, you know, so it's. It has its good and it has its rough.
Yeah. How do you teach something like that? You don't.
I don't know. I don't think.
Yeah.
We just say it, and whatever people do, they do it, and if they don't do it. You know, in the prophetic realm, you know, that's what started happening to me. You know, God started giving me words, and I'm hanging out with other prophets, right? These people are. You know, more well-known than me. Of course, I was nobody. And I'd be telling them, you know, some of my words that I'm getting from God, and they're going like, no, that ain't going to happen. You know, our words are going to happen, but that's not going to happen. It's okay, son. You'll learn. And then what happened was the words God gave me started happening, and their words didn't happen. You know, it's kind of like, and it didn't. They kind of like went, uh-huh? What was that? And then they kind of go into, you know, man, I don't know about this guy. You know, I don't know about, you know, I mean, and they start questioning you. It's really crazy.
Yeah. Yep. You're exactly right about that. We've had that done just not too long ago. We had someone come to us and question us, even had a private meeting and want to know what is going on. And we're looking at each other like, I don't know. But in the end, they realized, because Charles told them, hey, it's God. And one of them that was hierarchy, and he just looked at us and he said, yeah, he said, I really think so, too. You know, well, there is no explanation.
Wow.
You know, when someone questions who you are and what your character is about, when, you know, you've been in front of them for years, and they want to pull you to the side to question who you are and what are you doing
yeah.
and why is this happening and how come that is going on. And, you know, all these
yeah.
things don't add up to the glamour of Christianity. But Charles told me, he said, if you're really walking with God, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to have things happen to you. And in the end, after a 45-minute meeting, almost an hour, they all... Yeah, they realized a few things, that long suffering and things you go through in life. Me and Charles' life is never boring. I'm talking never. We always got something happening. It's crazy. And me and Charles, we know. It's like an obstacle course. You just, you know, you run the race.
Go from one level to the other, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you think. Then you think, not one person or even two people, surely, you know, what are you doing that, you know, you're not looking like us? And me and Charles
yeah.
look at each other. We're like,
Job friends.
Yeah, them Job friends, as Charles calls them. But, you know, they just was really concerned. And we're like,
yeah.
we just spilled our guts to them. And then they didn't have no solutions, or they was kind of regretting that they even asked us. You know, they're like, "Whoa, this is a lot."
Yeah.
You can't even make it up. It's so much. And so, you know, hey, are we better than anybody? No. You know, God's doing what he's wanting to do with us because we want him to. And whatever that looks like.
Right.
You know, and so sanctifying and sanctification, whew, you know, no wins allowed, not in God's world.
Yeah, it sets you apart. If sanctification means, you know, it means many different things. It sanctify you, cleanse you, wash you, do a work in you, you know, to use you, like for the priesthood and that, blah, 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 that guy. But it also means to make a show of you. You know, it's like you have 100 people and they sanctify you or they set you apart, you know, and you're kind of sitting over there by yourself like going, and all the 99, they're looking at you like, you know, why did they do that to them, you know? It kind of puts the finger on you or it puts the eye on you and gets attention. And sometimes the attention depends on who's paying attention to it, whether they like it or not. So being sanctified is, you know, being set apart from the other crew. And so many times that creates a problem. That's the way it goes.
A big one sometimes. And that you only know God can deal with. You know, because first off, you didn't start it or make it. And then second off, you have no solution for it. And then you're just looking like, I always say, who did it and why? You know, I don't know.
I know.
You
know?
So,
exactly.
Hey, we started our life like that with God. That was from day one with us, both of us. So, you know, I think we would be kind of bored if we had like, I don't know, a normal, Charles and I would say a normal Christian life or something, you know. I think Charles would probably think that was strange. So, anyways, but when God calls you and he created you for a time such as this, what you going to do, right, Randy?
just try to enjoy the ride, that's for sure. Just try to enjoy the ride.
I think that's the reason why I just love you so much, because, like, you put yourself out there vulnerably, and people want to tear you apart because you didn't say the right thing to them or they don't believe it. I mean, I'll be the first one to raise my hand going, come on, Chandler, you need to stop. And then it comes truth, and I'd be like, oh, Lord, you better watch your mouth. Hold your mouth right, Nikki, don't you be, you know. I mean, I'm not ever curse you, but I've questioned
sure. Oh,
but,
for sure, yeah,
you know,
yeah. No,
you know,
disagree.
And I admire that. I love that about you.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you so much. Well, what I talk about with people is that we allow people to disagree with us. They, you know, it's one thing to disagree. The Bible says he curses those who curse you, and he doesn't curse those who disagree with us or temporarily or whatever reason. We have to give people the right to hear from God themselves. Until they do, sometimes they're just going to go like, you know, why are you talking about that so much? It's very normal. It's not a bad thing. But it's when people turn around and try to, I'm going to tell the story someday about all this as God gives me the grace. But I've had some high level people, network people, the television network people do some really, really crazy things. And try to, you know, undermine me and take me out, you know, and so I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, I'm not a liar. And one of these days I'm going to talk about it all and get it all out in the open when it no longer means anything, probably. So it won't be a big deal, but when people try to do that to you and you you just keep serving God, and it's like in the dream I had when I saw the giants, and then when they saw me, they sent that one. It wasn't a big giant, but it was a 30-foot tall giant. His knee was about a foot higher than my head, so whatever you want to say that, the biggest giant was like about maybe 10, 15 feet taller than him, so he was a smaller giant, but he came after me, and that literally has happened to me. I've had some giants come after me. and just if it, and I'm going down, right? I'm thinking this is it. You know, they're going to get me. They got me. This is, you know, I have no money. You know, I don't have money to fight this stuff. I don't have, you know, the ability to do it. I don't have the smarts. I don't have anything. I'm just out here trying to do the will of God. I'm a little bitty nobody, which in a dream I was just a little bitty person. I was a regular person, but the giants were so big, and they came after me. And then all of a sudden, you know, in what appeared in my hand was a little rock, you know, a rock the size of, you know, a very small frisbee style jagged rock, you know, round. And I threw it, hit the giant in the knee, and he went down. Or I never saw him go down, but I just knew that it did the work. And I've had that literally happen. And one of these days I'm going to tell the story of who the giant was and what network came after me and what they did and tried to do. And it just didn't work. It just, God gave me a word, you know. God gave me a word, man. The word saves you, literally. You don't save yourself. The word of God, the word of the Lord will save you. A word of knowledge. You know, a word of the Lord is, a rock isn't always a prophecy. Sometimes it's a word of knowledge. You know, God gave me a word of knowledge and showed me what was going on while it was actually happening. The very minute it was actually going on, I just, all of a sudden, I just realized something was up, and I looked up, and the Lord said, this is going on, that's going on. I go, oh, my God. And so because he showed me, then, you know, it's kind of a long story, but you know, and now God is dealing with this place, and because they came after me, you know, and God used it. God stirred them up to do it because he wanted to deal with the merchandising realm. So what he does sometimes when he wants to deal with somebody big, he'll have them come after the voice of God, the person who has the voice of God or, you know, being used by the voice of God to speak about those things. And when they come after you, they don't realize it, but they just took themselves down. They don't realize it, but as soon as they come after you and you're just doing what God says, if you're doing what God says, it's the very thing, Nikki, that takes them down. And so they didn't realize that. They didn't know that. The strategies of God are absolutely mind-boggling. People don't realize them, but God will draw your enemy into a battle with you, and then he'll give you a word to take it down, to stop it or to whatever. And he's done that with me. And like I said, Wednesday, I'll talk about all of it, but it's exciting. I mean, you look at the privilege you have of even being that going on, that for a giant to come after you, you know, is really an honor. You know, it's like an honor, really.
Well, you'll probably have to pray for me then, because I didn't find any of it an honor when the giants was coming at us. I didn't find no honor. But I was going to ask you, when the giants came at you, did the Lord ever tell you to pray for them?
Well, no, I'm going to be totally honest. He never told me to pray for them, no. Different things happen with different situations. In this situation, it was that they were trying to do some things. I don't even want to talk about it too much until I'm ready to reveal the whole thing, because it's just kind of it's just talk about without opening up the whole thing. But no, in this situation, when I got the word of knowledge about it, and then I watched it happen right in front of me, just exactly the way the Lord showed me, which is totally supernatural. And then it was all exposed. No, I never prayed for them. I laughed. I mean, I laughed. Wow. I literally laughed, and I said, God, you know, this is hilarious. They thought, it was just hilarious. And so I didn't pray for them. I just laughed. I actually mocked it. I mocked it. I said, you know, you thought you had me going down, you know, and God took me all around. You never got me. And so it was just kind of cool. But no, I don't think I really prayed for them.
Wow.
Sometimes, Nikki, God doesn't have you pray for them. Not always. But sometimes he has you to just let them do their thing and let the strategies of God work so that when they come after you, they set themselves up. And so he doesn't want to stop that for you so that he can deal with them. Because until they come after you, he can't deal with them. It's in the coming after you that opens a door for him to be able to deal with them. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
Yeah. So if I'd have been praying, you know, God, stop it, God, forgive him, God, bless, you know, I mean, there was no unforgiveness on my end in that situation, because I knew this stuff had been has been going on for a while in different ways. And so when I started specifically prophesying against them, when I started I'm going to get myself in trouble here if I don't be careful. But when I started specifically naming names and prophesying against that system and tagging their name to it, that's when it got really bad. That's when it got really bad. And so it was just, you know, it was really an honor, and it was really kind of cool, kind of fun, really. It was kind of a lot of fun, really. I kind of enjoyed it. I hate to say I kind of enjoyed the whole thing. It was scary. If God had, just like in the dream, when I had the dream, if God had to put a rock in my hand, if some, you know, give me a revelation about it, I would have fall. I would have been dead. I would have been it would have been over for me. He would have, that giant would have smashed me like a bug, because I had no power against it. You know, they have all the money. Wow. They have all the quote. They have connections to the, you know, the police department. You know, I mean, they have connections. They have money, and yeah. And they're well-respected people, so to speak. And so, you know, when you're dealing with that, you don't have a chance when they, yeah. So without getting any more, I don't want to discuss any more of that part, but
right.
you
right.
see what I'm saying? That's just the
yes,
way, that's actually how it happened for me.
Wow. You know, Charles was talking that there's a scripture. It's probably in Proverbs, Charles, where the enemy sets a snare. And they fall into the trap of it or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what came to Charles'
yeah.
heart. He's like, there's a scripture on that. And you know,
oh, yeah,
so
I know what scripture that is. Yeah, I've used that before.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah, it's a really good one. And there's a lot more. There's many times God would stir up, you know, enemies to come against, you know, so, yeah. Yeah. Really, very interesting. And you see it in developing in different ways with Joseph. When God stirred up his brothers to come against him, it was to get him in Egypt. You know, so you see how God stirs up people against us to out of jealousy or whatever the thing is to get you somewhere else. In other words, they may temporarily look like they're winning. You know, it looked like Joseph's brothers were successful. But what was really happening was, as we all know now, because we know the Bible, that God was getting him into Egypt where he could save them later. Right? So,
right.
So
it's
yeah.
weird how it was to put you in position, but yet it was to get them later.
Yeah, and then later he forgave them. Then later he restored them. Then later they became, you know, family again. And but God used it. So there's all kinds of, we could go from scripture to scripture. I use Joseph a lot. I use Moses a lot. I use different people, you know, that I connect with. David, you know, in very small ways, I connect with, to some of those people, and because I feel identified with them to a small degree. And so yeah, it's pretty cool, but. All right, girl, I'm going to let y'all go. Anything else going on? What's going on?
Well, I was going to ask if you could pray. I have an unspoken request. If you could just pray for this unspoken request, I would greatly appreciate it.
All right. Okey-doke. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for that unspoken request. God, we thank you, Lord, for your provision, your favor. God, we thank you for opening up, you know, those provisional things, those provisional statements, settlements, those provisional openings for them. In God, in Jesus' name, provision is could be a lot of different things. It could be money. It could be favor. It could be, you know, the provision. We thank you, Lord, for that provisional realm opening up, dear Jesus, and giving them favor, Father, what they need, and to, you know, turn things around. To turn things around and to, you know, the provision of the Lord always saves, always delivers. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. All right.
Carla.
Oh, hey, Carla. Okay. It's
hi, Randall, how are you?
I talked to you last night, right?
No, I didn't call last night.
Oh, Carla. You said Carla. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yes, Carla. Right. Yes.
Carla, okay. Carla, what state are you from? What state are you from, Carla?
Texas.
Carla from Texas. All right, Carla, I'm gonna mute you for a second here, and then we're gonna pray for you, Carla. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I think it was Carol. Okay, Carla, Carol. I'll pray for anybody. I don't remember mine. I just thought maybe that was you, but it was different. So thank you, Jesus, for Carol, for Carla. God, we thank you, Lord, for Carla. God, we thank you for that, the faith you've given her, Father, to stand the test and to fight the fight. God, I thank you, Lord, that sometimes she's gotten discouraged, she's gotten down, and you emboldening her, enabling her to be emboldened to stand her ground, and yet knowing that without God, she's going to go down. But with God, that just like me talking about my situation, if it hadn't been for the Lord, hadn't been for the word of the Lord, I would have fallen. I would have been taken down. I would have been overwhelmed. I would have overtaken. They're stronger. They're bigger. They have, you know, more stuff. They have more access to things. They have favor that I don't have to. They buy their, they have purchased, they own favor with people. And so you, in that, those kind of situations, you know, you have no chance. But for the grace of God, you know, God brings you through it. And then he uses it to do a strategy of dealing with those people who think they're arrogant enough to think they can do whatever they want, whomever they want, whenever they want. And so I see God, you know, really dealing with situations like that with Carla and Jesus' name, and helping you to, you know, to walk by faith and not by sight. And because if we walk by sight, we get discouraged. We go up by sight. I walk by sight sometimes, I have to say. Sometimes I look at the outward and I'm going, oh, my gosh, I don't have a chance. Oh, no. I just like David. David in the Bible, Carla, he would go, you hear him praying and talking, you'd think he's had anxiety issues or something. He's like, oh, woe is me. You know, I'm getting messed up. They're overtaking me. They're overwhelming me. I'm going down. And then 3 seconds later, it's like, but the Lord God Almighty is going to deliver me. You know, and he moves into his praise, and God delivers him, and God shows up. And, you know, so I think that, you know, sometimes we don't always feel strong, but even in our weaknesses, you know, the Lord shows up in his strength for us to show us that, yeah, we're weak, but he's strong. If we'll trust him, he's strong. He's always strong. And, yeah, so really, really cool. All right, Carla, for a minute here, see what's going on with her. All right, Carla, what's going on your way, dear? How can we pray for you? What's up?
Oh, well, I received that prayer that you were saying, because, you know, many times, even when I go to church sometime, you know, the pastors, you know, try to come up against me and say things, but I thank God for it. But this time I said, I was just going to stand. I said, God, I know you have placed me here for right now, and I'm just going to stand the test.
Yeah.
And, you know, and want to just say what they want to say when they want to. But I thank God that, you know, that he bring me out,
yeah.
You know, he helped me to stand. And I usually just take off, you know, and so I'm not going to just put
yeah.
up with that. But I just pray, God said, I want you to stand this time and just let me fight the battle.
Yeah. Sometimes he wants to take us through something rather than get us out of it. He takes us through it because he teaches us things. You know, we all need teaching. We all have. We all need to grow. We all have areas where we're weak, you know, we need help. We need to be taught. And sometimes the Lord will put us in some really tough circumstances to show us, you know, that he's bigger than everybody.
Amen.
And that, you know, that we don't have a chance without him. And sometimes he likes to show us that we don't have a chance without him. So he put us in circumstances where we don't have a chance without him. You know, it's like, if you're not with me, God, I'm going down, you know. It's like, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
And then he just shows up, you know. And it's like, sometimes he likes to do that.
Yeah.
So
trying to make a decision on, you know, I guess transition.
Say it again, please.
I said, I would like for prayer, you know, for I guess to agree with transition, you know, about a move.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I'm not getting anything about that, but Lord, we thank you. We just lift that up for you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that transitions sometimes happen on the inside before they happen on the outside. And we thank you, Lord, that you open up those doors on the inside of Carla, God, where she can learn to yield to you, trust you, believe you, and be in circumstances like she's at right now, the church that she's at, where people disagree with you or maybe they're corrective or whatever, and learn how to, you know, consider their correction and consider it as a possibility, not being afraid to, you know, when we're really free, we don't have a fear of people, you know, when people criticize us, you know, it doesn't wound us as much unless we need it. Sometimes those things wound us because we need them. But when you can always tell when you've been healed in an area or, you know, God's kind of done a work in that area because it doesn't wound you. When Joseph saw his brothers come into Egypt and known what they had done to him many years before that and that all the suffering that he had, that when he saw them, you know, he went through all kinds of emotions. And sometimes being a part of being around somebody or something that is difficult or contrary or people who don't agree with us, God sometimes says, okay, see how you feel about this. See how you do in the midst of this. Because it'll tell us where we're at with God. You know, if everything's always good all the time and we're always feeling good, what do we feel like when everything's not good? That's also a test that we go through. You know, how are you taking it when people are being ugly? Even when you don't deserve it and they're being ugly, that's a test. That's why sometimes God takes us through those tests, because maybe we don't deserve that stuff, but he wants to see how we handle it. You know, he wants to see whether we tuck our tail between our legs and start whining like a little puppy dog. You know, like I've done that plenty of times. God says, see, you're not ready. You're not as ready as you thought you were. You can't handle a little bit of persecution. If you just love those who love you, Randy, you know, what good are you going to be to anybody? You know, if you can't love those who disapprove of you, if you can't love those who come against you, then what are you? You're just a regular old, like a heathen. They love who they love those who love them and bless those who bless them. And they curse those who don't agree with them. And the Lord says, I'm showing you that if you're going to walk in the spirit of Christ, Christ loved those. He said, do good to them who despitefully use you. If we can't do that, then we're not growing, Carla. And I think that may be one reason God's allowing you to go through this, because he's trying to open a new door in you of transition on the inside through your suffering, through your time, to show you, you know, the needs you have of growth in your life. But I have a lot of that. He's showing me how I lack things, you know, and I'm going, thank you, Jesus. He showed me an area of my life where I need to grow. Wow, I didn't see that before. Now I see it. Yeah, it was painful. It was difficult. But all bitter and angry and unforgiving. And I said, how much the Holy Ghost was that? None of it. What are you doing, Randy? You get bitter and resentful over that little thing? What are you going to do when they really come against you? I'm going to be like, help me, Jesus. You know, so it's sad for circumstances sometimes, part of, as you already know, are there to show us where we are or where we're not. And I don't know about you, but every time I get put in those circumstances, I end up bucking a little bit, you know, at least a little bit, if not a lot. And the Lord says, see, look at you, look at you're bucking against that. You can't even handle a little bit of disagreement with you. You turn into a whiner. Turn, and I'm going like, Jesus, you know, that's in such an uncondemning way, Carla, that, you know, you realize he's just trying to teach us and help us grow. So I think you have a heart for that. I think you have a heart for being blessed and letting God test you. And so that's beautiful about you.
Amen.
Yep. And I think if you grow through this, the transition inside your heart is going to open up, you know, that new level. Like every level we go through, the Bible says, I would that you prosper, right? Even as your soul prospers. I would that you prosper in health, what? As your soul prospers. What God does, he puts us in circumstances that are difficult, that are contrary, that may be not fair, so that we can grow and say, man, you know, I mean, this is not fair, and I shouldn't be feeling this bad at this. I shouldn't be this angry. You know, I shouldn't be this whiny. I shouldn't be this unforgiving. Thank you, God, for seeing it. So, you know, he grows us a little bit and shows us, you know, if we can't handle a little bit, how are we going to do? Because the Bible talks about those who walk in hundredfold. They walk in persecution. They're going to be persecuted a lot. If you can't handle persecution, we'll lose our blessings, because that's what persecution does. And the enemy uses persecution to get us to get bitter and resentful and unforgiving, which I talked about that with me a few times here on the show. I've been through that. And God has been helping me and forgive. People took advantage of me. I became bitter about it. I mean, as a ministry, of serving God, moving against the Spirit, prophesying, you know, all kind of stuff. And I became bitter. And the Lord said, see, you know, what are you going to do when they really come against you, Randy? What do you do then? You're going to become bitter? You're going to be able to walk in my blessings. You walk in the full blessing of God, you walk in also a realm of persecution.
Amen. I receive it. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, Carla, I wish I could help more. Hopefully that'll help a little bit. And
oh, yes.
Call back in whenever you want. Yeah, we'll pray for you again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're so welcome, Carla. Thank you very much. All right, 908-305. You want to talk to your friend, please? Gone up into La La Land. All right, 254-541. You want to talk to your friend, please? Are you there?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Okay. This is Felicia.
Well, I thought that sounded like Felicia. I'm thinking that sounded like Felicia. You always say, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. That just shows you're a professional sound lady. Can you hear me now?
Testing.
How about now?
1, 2, 1, 2.
Testing. Like she comes on the show and does a testing mic thing. Can you hear me now, Brother Chandler? Hello? Turn me up or turn me down? Or turn me around?
It's me.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, good to hear from you. Let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you for a second. And let's pray for you. So good to hear from you. All right. Felicia, let's give you, let me mute you there for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You know what? I think that whole little show we just did on testing, you know, God's trying to say, you know, you need to get up off your little kachukis, whatever that is, and start, you know, getting out there. Step out there, girl. Get out of that. Get out of that boat, man, woman, and start doing that mic test, saying, thank you, Jesus. Is anybody out there? Prophesy to you. I'm going to minister to you. Are you out there? Yeah, we're here. Yes. So thank you, Jesus. Oh, she's going to wish she hadn't called in tonight. Not really. Yeah, okay, there you go. All right, Felicia, thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you for your anointing on her, God. I thank you for your calling her life, God, that when you call, she calls back and says, can you hear me, God? God goes, yeah. Can you hear me? She goes, yep. Then communicate with my people. Love my people. Share my word. Give my glory. Give my blessings. Talk to my bride. Talk the love language of Jesus. to of the bridegroom to the bride. Talk the love language, Felicia, to the bride. Hallelujah. The bridegroom's love language in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the, that dimension of the love language of the bridegroom through her, Father. In Jesus' name, the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Well, now I'm getting a little suspicious when I hear the Lord talk about bridegroom. What's going on over there?
Oh, I'm so glad. First of all, I just appreciate you. But and I'll probably be a little talkative tonight. So let me just try to wrap it up real quick. I don't want to take too long. But and thank you for that word. I don't know if that has anything to do with. Well, you're really smart, so you can tell me. You know.
Okay.
I've been wanting to, like, ask you to do some shows. And I know I did before, but I just want to say this.
Yeah.
I hear everything that you're saying, and it's always good. But, you know, there's times when you reach that you don't care about nothing else. My prayer has not been answered, and I don't care how good Randy's talking tonight. I don't care about somebody just had a tragedy. I don't even care. And I'm a Christian, and I should care. And I think I'm a very merciful, compassionate person. I think I'm a really compassionate person.
Yeah.
But I have now, and it sounds petty and it sounds small, but, you know, even as I've been saved for a long time, I try to study Christianity and Christian people and how we respond to things, but this is just about me. And you told me that one time, you know, just there's times when you need to focus on you, Felicia. But because I have a prayer request, and I'll just say this: I haven't even given to your ministry, and I want to do that. But I want you to know it's because I'm so sad that I've been wanting, and I hate to mention this, because it sounds so small compared to the tragedies of what else is going on in the world, but I'm just so sad because I have not had a husband. I have not.
No.
I'm 44 now, and I'm getting older, and I'm getting older and older and older, and I just want to just quit the whole thing, and When you text us and you let us know who's on, I want to do a show, but I don't have the encouragement to do it because I don't even have my own testimony of doing that. Like it's almost like that's the only thing I want in life is a husband, and it's not so much about having a husband; it's about that prayer being fulfilled. You know,
right.
It's not so much of I just want somebody to love me. Yeah, that I do, but it's about I've been wanting a spouse for so long. I've been wanting a husband for so long, and it's like since it's not there, I'm kind of becoming bitter about doing anything else. I've gone through this before,
right.
And then I got over it, I got past it, and now I'm back here again. And now I'm 44, and I'm older now, and I thank God that I'm still getting – I went out, and I got some good compliments. Thank you, Jesus. Some men, you know, told me I was beautiful and pretty and all those good things. But that's not who I want to tell me that I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I went out, went shopping on Sunday, and it was nice, and I had a younger man to tell me that he was interested. But, of course, I don't want a younger man. I'm not a cougar, as the world would say, cougar. I'm not a cougar. So.
What is that?
But, you know, like an older woman with a younger man. Like I'm 44, I get with somebody who's 40, 34. I don't really want that.
Why?
Or no, I would take it. It probably goes further than that. Like I'm 44, and then, you know, you get somebody a man who's 24.
Okay. Well, that's a little different, 24. The 34 is not bad.
34 is not bad, to be honest. You're right. That's not bad. Because the guy was 36,
actually. 24, then.
But 24, they call him the Cougars. Like, you know, you're 44.
Oh, okay.
He's 24. But anyway, I'm just saying that I want to do your shows. I want to give. And it's kind of like every Thursday that comes around, I'm just like, oh, God, I have you know, I could give. I'm just discouraged in that area, and I didn't want to call and just be so too transparent, good Lord, but to where people would see me as, okay, I'll call Randy's show, but I hope Felicia's not the one hosting. I hope she's not it, because this ain't sounding good. But I wanted you to just hear me out, I guess.
Yeah.
I just needed somebody to talk to, I guess, maybe.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a big thing. You know, that's a big thing. And, you know, the Bible made us, God made us to want that. I mean, that's a God thing. As you know, we talk about that all the time. And so I don't know, you know, I know maybe God's waiting for you to do a show, and then your husband's going to call into the show and say, hey, you 44-year-old woman, can you prophesy like a 34-year-old guy? And you're going to go, yeah, it depends. Do you like me? And he goes, honey, I love you. I love your voice. You send me a picture, of course, but I love the way you sound. I love the way you prophesy. I love the way you sing. I love the way you do all these stuff. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not saying.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that's the word of the Lord, but at the same time, you know, sometimes when I play, it's more the word of the Lord than I've had friends of mine tell me that all the time. You know, sometimes when you're playing, it's more the word of the Lord than it is when you're being serious. I'm going like, what does that mean? You know, so, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to get you to do anything. You know, I mean, I never force anybody to do anything. We only offer things to people. And if God guides them and helps them do it, then it's wonderful. You know that. I think you know that.
Yeah.
But sometimes our obedience and getting out of the boat, walking on the water, is what connects us with, you know, it's like obedience to obedience. Like the Lord says to me, you know, when I started moving as a prophet and prophesying and doors started opening up, you know, I was single. And, you know, I mean, you know what it's like in church. I mean, you got a lot of single women in the church. I was a single man. I mean, I started standing up behind the pulpit, prophesying, and all of a sudden, before that, I didn't have any women. Now I got too many women. I mean, which one do I? Who do I want? What age do I want? What is, you know what I'm saying? And because I'm just being honest, you got me started on this honest thing, so I'm blaming this all on you. But that happened. That happened. That happens. You know, it's just a way of life. I don't know. For me, it was obedience. You know, because, you know, I was shining with what God, the gift God gave me. And when you shine with the God, with the gift that God gives you, you shine in a way that opens up the door for people to, you know, for God to open up doors for people to come to you and want you and that kind of thing. That's not a carnal thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a God thing.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful when you want that. But then I just wanted to also, I don't know if it's a two-part thing, because I don't know if, you know, of course I know other Christians probably experience this as well, but it's like, it sounds so small. Like, I have reached a point where it's like, I don't even care about nothing else. I don't care about the people. I don't care about other people's tragedy until I get this answered, until this is completed. I used to care about that. I used to be compassionate for people. I used to have that. But because I cannot get my own, I don't feel it for you no more. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things. And I hate, because it's just a husband. It's not like, I'm believing God to heal me from losing a loved one or something. My loved one passed away. You know, it's not that deep, so it makes me feel guilty on that part. But then there was one time you helped me to not feel so guilty, that I remember you telling me there's a part where, you know, it's just about you and God. I feel guilty. I still feel like I want this, but then this person over here just lost their husband, and now here I'm crying for a husband, and this person lost their husband, and I don't care about it because I just want one. I don't know how to explain that.
But, you know, the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he adds those other things to you. So it's like, That's my point with that. I'm not saying do a show and God's going to bring you a husband. It's kind of a take on what I'm trying to say is that when you, like with me, I decided that I'm not going to look for a woman. I'm going to look for my ministry. I'm going to look for my calling. I'm going to obey God in my calling. And when I did that, God started opening up doors. And then all of a sudden, I had more women wanting me than I ever had in my life. I'm going like, this is crazy. And so, yeah. And where I, you know, so that's what happened to me. But you know, the Word of God says, don't seek after the husband, or seek after the wife, or seek after the job, or seek after the healing. You know, seek first to do the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then He adds those things to you. But people get it wrong. They get it backwards. They want the husband. They want the money. They want the job. They want the business. And then they're going to do it, you know, and it just doesn't work like that. So the stumbling block, I'm not saying do a show. I'm not saying. As an example, I'm using it.
But I want to do a show sometimes.
I know. And that would be awesome. But my point is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that's what opens up the door for those things to come to you.
Okay. I thought I was. Apparently not.
Well, I'm not saying that you're not. Yeah, I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just pointing out what I hear, what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Yeah, so all good.
I appreciate you. Yeah, I'll go back and
see about that. You better. I'll find you. I'll hunt you down. I will hunt you down if you don't appreciate me. And I will. My angel knows where you live.
I can find you. Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be coming to visit you, knocking on your door. You'll wonder, who's knocking on my door? I don't see anybody. You hear a voice saying, it's Rondy's angel. You better appreciate him a little more.
Hey, this is the first time I've really been able to just really express myself. I've really just expressed myself tonight. So if I always talk too much, y'all just forgive me. This is the first time I've ever really – I've talked to you before, you know, many times, a thousand times before, but I think I really expressed myself tonight in a way that I usually don't. And so I felt kind of free tonight for some reason, but thank you.
Uh-huh. That's because you appreciate me.
I feel a little different. I feel a little different tonight, Randy, a little different.
Oh, glory.
Yeah, you know, so thank you. And then, you know, and hey, you were on point, right? Because, you know, you did say something about bridegroom. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know if that's what that meant, but when I kept hearing it, I kept thinking.
Right. No, it's not what it.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't what it meant, it, you know, it was still on
but
course.
Still.
Right? Like, we're still on.
But it still is. They in love with Jesus. When you love Jesus, He's not going to be jealous, and He's going to give you a husband. If you love Him first and make Him first, He's going to be able to bring you a husband. As long as you don't put that husband first and make Him jealous, He's just going to go, I'll bring you whatever you want. I'll bring you, seek first Jesus and love Jesus and don't make Jesus jealous, and I'll give you anything you want. I'll give you anything, a husband, money, wealth, anointing, blessing, a little trouble here and there.
Yeah.
It's
the
whole package.
I appreciate
it. Can't just go.
But this was good. I feel more comfortable now. So, in terms of talking
wonderful.
To you, like, so appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you can move on.
Well, it just shows
Have a good night.
Okay, Felicia, thank you.
All right.
Later. Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. All right, you're welcome. Thank you. All right. Right now, that's it. With nobody else has their hand up. My other callers are either asleep or out visiting the neighbors, and they're not answering the phone. So if you want, oh, there we go. All right, 623-282.
It's me, Carmen, from Texas.
Hey, I got another Texas girl on the line. Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming tonight, girl. We thank you, Lord, for that anointing to crush the enemy. The crushing anointing, God. Some people don't know the violent side of God. God's very violent, but He's not violent against people. He's violent against His enemies. and his enemies are, you know, of course, Satan and his imps and all their strategies and all their things that they come up with. And I thank you, Jesus, for that crushing anointing, those words, the words of the Lord, the word of God to crush, to destroy. Yeah, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that we thank you, God, for that scripture. Where's that scripture at? Let me try to find that. Give me one second. Look this up. All right. What does this is 3:15? He will fatally bruise your head. The second messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15 is that you will strike his heel. That is the serpent will bite the heel. Okay, let's see here. What this is. Here we are here. This is 3:15. I'm just going to read this. This is what I was thinking about. I'm not sure what all it means, but I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. Crush your head and you will strike his heel. Whatever that is. Anyway, awesome. So that crushing anointing, God, from the word of the Lord, the crushing anointing to crush when somebody has the wrong thinking in their brain about something, what does he say? He renews the mind. He restores the soul. What does that do? He crushes the enemy's lies in the minds of people. Yeah, he crushes the lies in the minds of my people through the word, the crushing of the word. Right? In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Carmen, let's see what's going on over here.
That's exactly what's happening. That's what I'm teaching people. Putting God first, speaking his word. Their mind is God's garden. And he wants to have beautiful things in our garden. And we have to let him, if we say that we love him, and he changes us with his word. Once our thinking is changed, our speaking is changed, our walking is changed, and our surrounding is changed. Amen?
Yeah.
Hello,
cool.
Randy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, cool. That's in a nutshell what I've been teaching, showing what the word is saying, what God is saying, and how they can get freedom, and how they can have the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
And all the characters of God manifesting in their lives. Hey,
I don't think I've ever really thought about that before. As far as I've never really put that together before about the word. A crushing word. You know, the word is aggressive against the enemy. It crushes the enemy. Yeah, that's what the anointing. The Bible says the anointing crushes, you know, destroys the yoke. It doesn't just slap it around. It destroys it.
Yeah.
So God, you know, that's what God does. He destroys things and the things of the enemy. And he uses his word, you know, to go to the mind of people where people believe in their soul, their mind. You know, I never put that together before. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, it affects everything, but it starts in the mind. But it starts with seeking God first, and then all the other things will be added on, because it starts from your mind, it starts in your head, then it takes what you're speaking and how you're walking, and then it manifests around you, you know. So if you seek God first, those desires of your heart, will be changed as God's desires, and so you'll be a different person. I have to share a testimony. Well, too.
Okay.
My friends have COVID. And they're getting better. They're getting way better.
Awesome.
But the other night, you gave a word. You said something about gastric, and you didn't direct that to anybody. But in my spirit, I took it. I just sensed something about it, and I spoke to somebody about it. And they went and got themselves checked. And they're getting that taken care of. They didn't know that for years and years they had a bacteria called H. pylori, and which causes ulcers eventually, and if not taken care of, can even cause cancer. So they were having trouble, and when you gave that word, it hit in my spirit, and I told that person, get that checked. And they found out, and now they're getting that taken care of.
Wow.
And, I mean, you just gave that out there, and I just grabbed it. And that's another thing that I'm telling people.
That.
If you hear a word that one of the ministers on PGN or Prophet Randy speaks, and you feel that it's for you, grab that. Take it for yourself, too, because God is a generous God. He has more enough to go around. So,
yeah.
I mean, I was like, I'm grabbing that. I felt it in my spirit. I said, I'm grabbing that. I don't have any problems, and I gave it to that person, and sure enough, it was for them. Amen.
Wow, that's awesome.
So those words don't they're in vain. They go and do what they're supposed to do.
That's so cool. Yeah, when they're from the Lord, they don't fall to the ground. It's really cool how you applied that and went for that. That's really awesome. Wow, praise God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa! So I'm listening carefully to what you're saying.
That's
I'm
so
like,
awesome.
Okay, Lord. You know, because I know God is using you. You are his mouthpiece, and so we got to listen. We have to listen.
There you go. What's the Lord saying? We just need to, you know, learn to hear the voice of the Lord and through people, you know, when they're speaking, you know, because sometimes people will be used by the Lord, sometimes they won't, sometimes it'll be their flesh or whatever, but, you know, hear the voice of God, whether it's to a child or to a donkey or whoever the voice of God's coming through, you know, to be able to, you know, to understand that and get that, it's really cool. And so when we're made attentive to the voice of God, then we can hear it. If it's through, you know, a sign, like when I got the word about the market, about, you know, the Lord said sign number one, you know, I saw a head on collision. He said sign number one. I went, man, that was he was speaking to me. It was his voice. Yeah. Speaking to me about something very important. And God speaks in many different ways. So I'm glad to hear that you have a voice, you have an ear for the voice of God. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, I remember when you said that was before the coronavirus, and we didn't know what was coming, but you knew, the Lord had been telling you, and you said something about a second one, and then there was a second wave of that. So.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the virus,
to...
that one, yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, there was, sometimes we get words and we don't know what they mean exactly. Sometimes they were specific enough to where we think we know what they mean. And then I've had all different kinds of things going where, you know, I thought I knew what something meant. And you know, you end up being something a little bit different. But the word of the Lord comes to pass. That's why when we get a word, we need to make sure we give the word exactly the way we get it. That way if you try to interpret it, you know, which sometimes we try to interpret things, that we can go back to the word and say, well, this is what the word said, you know. Some of my prophet friends taught me that. They said, when you get a word, write down the word and keep it because it's so easy to think you know what it means and you add to it, you know, without realizing it. And they were just being very honest with some of their experiences they had that they learned from over the years. And I'm going like, okay. And so I found out they were really right. It was really true. You have to write down the word exactly the way you get it and then pray about it and see if God gives you maybe an interpretation or an understanding of it. And always go back to the original source of the word. And I found out that they were really right about that. They weren't right about everything, but they were right about that one. It was a really good one.
We're always learning.
Somebody said that.
We're always learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always learning.
We're always learning.
I love to learn.
Yeah. Fun part of it, because if it was always the same, I mean, It would. I mean, I get bored, but it's always new.
I do too.
It's always something you gotta learn. I love to learn.
Right.
I love learning and sitting and watching something. Yeah. And so it's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah, and there's and the more, like you're talking about tonight, being attentive to hear the voice of God, whoever and however's coming is you know, because the voice of God shows up in so many different ways. He's speaking to us in so many different ways. I did a teaching years ago on the things that God had showed me personally. I had narrowed down his voice to be a couple of different things, you know. And he started showing me, he said, Randy, I speak in so many different ways. Through the weather,
yep.
I can speak through a sign. I can speak through a license tag. I can speak through a child. I can speak through a circumstance. I can speak through a head-on collision. I can speak through a lot of things. And if you can learn to listen to that, and you know, then you'll hear my voice more. So it opened me up to hearing the voice of God more often. You know, because I learned that. It's not just one way. I've had him speak to me through heathens, you know. And, well, look at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was not a godly man, right? I mean, he believed in, you know, he was a heathen, really. And look what God showed him. The dream that everybody's always talking about, you know, the head of gold and then, you know,
mm-hmm.
the silver, yeah, all that. That came from a heathen king, and we're still talking about that one. So you never know how God's
yeah.
going to speak.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. God shows me things like that. The other, just recently on the news, look at what's happening. All these tornadoes, isn't that strange? But I understand that sometimes God can use the weather to get people's attention. And although it's hurting a lot of people,
yeah.
what's behind all of this is what I'm asking me, myself. I'm saying,
yeah.
you know, Lord, what's going on with all this crazy weather, all these deaths? I mean, it just tore houses from their foundation. There's stories. There's this one little girl that said that she felt the wind picking her up, and she cried out to Jesus to save her. She was the only one in her family that was saved, and that she was placed in a – she said Jesus put her in a mud pit, and that's what saved her. And there's stories, I mean, from all this that's been happening. But I'm, like, asking myself, Lord, what is it that you're trying to tell us? What's happened? What has been done that has brought this on? Because normally, you know, when you see things like these, or maybe in politics, something that's affecting maybe the states, I don't know. I'm praying
yeah.
about that. And we need to pray for all these people. There's a lot of hurt there. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, when you read the Word of God and you read the whole Word of God, you know, one of the things I didn't like about Kenneth Copeland, and I think Kenneth Copeland is a great guy in many ways, but one of the things that I didn't like that he said, he tried to take out of the Old Testament, he tried to take away from God the ability to, you know, do things and destroy. He took that. He said, oh, well, it says God, but it doesn't mean God. I'm going like, if it says God, it's God. And so what we've tried to
mm-hmm.
do over the years through that teaching, he's a pretty well-known teacher, through his teachings and others, we've tried to take away the fact that sometimes, you know, God goes to measures to do things to get people's attention, whether we like it or not. And he may use the devil, and like Kenneth Copeland, I've heard Kenneth Copeland say, God doesn't use the devil. He only uses his word. I'm going like, man, you know, you're narrowing down. God uses whatever he wants to use and however he wants to use it. And so, when I read the Word and listen to the Word, Old and New Testament, you see where the Bible says, back in the days of you know, Israel, he was teaching them his ways. He said, if there's a plague that's coming, it's because you're not serving me. If there's some disaster that's going on, it's because
mm-hmm.
there's an open door. You're not doing something right. I mean, that's pretty plain and simple. And yet we have tried to people have tried to say that that makes God look bad. But it doesn't make God look bad. It just shows that what happens when we walk away from him. We open up the door for that to happen to us. So we need to get back to the right balance on that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's things that affect the heavenlies. There's things that affect our cities. There's things that affect our homes. There's things that affect the individual. They're organized. It's in Ephesians 6. It talks about the powers and principalities and rulers and wickedness in high places. So when there's, you know, sin in a certain level that affects maybe the whole region, states, and things like that, I think that's maybe why the weather manifesting the way it is. I remember someone said something about one of the presidents had made a decision, I think this was years back, against Israel. And shortly after, their house was destroyed in a storm. And they had to rebuild it. It was millions of dollars to rebuild it. But see, the things that we do in politics, in our lives, in our city, that's all we have to pray. We have to pray for our nation. We have to pray for our states. We have to pray for our cities. We have to pray for our families. If we don't pray and stop the enemy, then what are we here for?
Right, right.
What are we here for? You know, we have to be salt. If salt loses its saltiness, then it's only good to be trampled on. So we have to pray. That's not just a person of prayer or an intercessor. That's everybody's job. We have to pray to push it back. And so I heard this young man saying that he was walking through his neighborhood. And just a regular walk, you know, and he would always worship going around the neighborhood, sort of like he didn't say that it was like Joshua, but I took it like Joshua. You know, remember that he would pray around the city of Jericho and the walls came down?
Yeah.
Well, a particular day, he's walking down, and he hears this roar, like an ugly roar, like something. And then he was like, what was that? And nobody else heard it. He was running, you know, walking the neighborhood with somebody else. Nobody heard it. And he asked the Lord, what was that? And he says, a principality just fell. So sometimes everything that we do, you know, even in our neighborhood, something that's controlling a neighborhood or a city or whatever, will, you know, come down just for the mere act of worshiping God, you know, praising and worshiping him in song. You know, worship is powerful, you know, and so, and some people are going through depression. They need to pray some praise music, and you know, because remember how Saul would get tormented by demons, you know, but when David would play music, those demons would go away. I'm sure what David was playing was worship to the Lord. That's why it would go away. So
right.
You know, we have to, you know, have our homes as a sanctuary that to keep all that stuff out. And keep all these things that are not of God, these idols that are not supposed to be in there, because they're a point of contact for the enemy to have an open door to come in and attack you. And then you're wondering why all this is happening. So, you know, we have to lead holy lives, you know, and as we seek the Lord, he'll show us. He shows us what, like me one day. It's funny that you should say that about Babylon. I'm thinking about the King Nebuchadnezzar, where he dreamed about that dream with the statue, with the gold and all that. Well, the head was Babylon. And one day I was looking at my living room. I had a picture. I used to live in Italy, and I had gotten a picture from Italy from one of the cities that I lived in, and from Venice. And I'm here looking at it, and the Holy Spirit told me, take a closer look at it. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and I left it. And I didn't see anything. But then weeks went by, and he's like, again, take a better look at it. And I'm like, what? And so one day I was at my kitchen table, and I'm looking at one of these books that talks about Babylon and, you know, the statue and all this stuff about Babylon,
yeah,
and what it represents, and that it represented Babylon, the head of gold, and
right,
that it was referencing it to the lion. And so I look at the picture, so I get a magnifying glass, and I'm looking at the picture because I felt the Holy Spirit telling me. I said, that's the same thing that's in that book. They have lions,
oh, wow,
right? But this is not the lion of Judah. This is not the lion of Judah. This is a lion that represents Babylon, and they have them on these long poles.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
City where I was living at. And I was like, this goes back to Babylon. This is in Italy, you know, where Rome is and all this. And I was
right,
like, oh, my goodness. God was saying, get that out. Get that out. And I was like, and I love that picture because it was beautiful, but I got rid of it. I didn't sell it. You're not supposed to sell it. Why would you give that to somebody else? If it's not good
right,
for you, it's not good for somebody.
Exactly,
so I got rid
yeah,
of it. Because I was
wow,
studying God's word, and I was, you know, with another person that we were studying, and I'm like, this is the same thing. And they were like with their mouths open. I was like, that's why the Holy Spirit kept telling me,
yeah,
look at the picture. And I couldn't see it until I pulled out the magnifying glass and I saw that. I was like, oh,
wow.
That's
cool.
So we have to be careful what we have in our homes, what we have from other places that we've been. Hawaii is a big one. Hawaii is a big one. You know, with the flowers over the neck, that has to do with idol worship too. Every culture has something. Every culture.
Yeah.
So, you know, clean out. I mean, it sounds funny, like weird. Why would you know, what would that affect? It does. It's a point of contact for the enemy to have legal right to be in your home.
Right.
So I'm so careful what I bring in, and that's why we constantly have to clean and do spiritual cleaning in our home. In the sense, spiritual cleaning, what I mean by that is, you know, what is it that's not pleasing to God? You know, inside our hearts, in our homes,
right,
in our walk, in our talk, in our relationships with other people, everything. So,
yeah,
that was my two cents.
Yeah, and we see that also where there's so many different ways that disasters happen. You know, you look at Job. We talk about Job off and on. And in that case, you know, God and Satan got this thing going on. Like, if you try my servant Job, and he's going, yeah, but I've tried to mess with him before, and I couldn't mess with him because you got that hedge around him. And he says, you take that hedge away from him, you know, and he'll be crying out to his mommy, you know. He'll be really whining. And sure enough, God says, okay, well, you know, I trust Job. So he took the hedge away. So there's so many different things. I'm not saying that those tornadoes are that. I don't know what God has spoken to me about that specifically, but there's so many different things that go on with disasters that we have to ask
mm-hmm.
God, what is it? You know, it's not just always automatic. Oh, it's God, or it's the devil, or it's God allowing it, or, you know, I mean, it could be different things. And getting the word from the Lord on it is extremely important because, you know, it tells you what's going on. If God's saying, I'm judging this situation because they've opened the door to the devil and it's, you know, destroying people, you know, so you never know what it's going to be. And it could be just the fact that, like you said, the enemy is, but usually when we give the enemy, like you said, a foothold, it's when he has a foothold. And so
mm-hmm.
it's there's a lot of things to learn about that realm and shutting all those doors and knowing that, you know, God's going to show us how to shut those doors so we don't open up the door to the enemy.
Amen. 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 And that's exactly what I've been teaching about the idols in the Word of God, how God had to take Abraham away from where his family was from because they were idol worshipers. And there were other people that had idol worship, like Jacob's wife was an idol worshiper, or his
yeah.
father-in-law was an idol worshiper. And so God sometimes
right.
has to put us away from that. And it may be lonely for a while, it may be lonely, but God has to do that in order to keep us from, you know, clean from those things in order to be able to use us. Otherwise, you know, we'll get contaminated with all of that again. And it may be hard, but if you let God, I know I've been one that God had to do that. God had to pull me away from family, from friends, from a lot of things, because it could affect me. And so he had to remove certain people away from me in order to get me to a place where I can hear him and I can obey him and do the things and remove the things that I didn't know were bad because of culture, because of, you know, my background, my family and everything, where I live and even from where I lived. You know, we have to look at all that so that we could understand where God is taking us away from to put us where he wants us to be. But if we're not willing, then we can't do what he's calling us to do.
Yep, that's right. That is so right. All right. Awesome. Well, Carmen teaches on Saturday night, so I'll be texting you a text alert. You can listen to her on Saturday night. She's obviously teaching on that right now, so that's really cool. It'd be a cool thing to get in on and find out what's going on. Every Saturday night we'll be texting you. If you're not on our text alerts, let me know, and I'll get you on that. So, all right, Carmen. Anything else before I move on?
I'm praying for a job. I feel like something's coming, but I want something to be not like it's been in the past. I want something to be more, you know, permanent and where I can have the time to be with the Lord, because a lot of times these jobs, they really suck the life out of you and you don't have the time or you're too tired. And I want to put God first. I don't want to put work or anything else. I mean, I'm having such a good time with the Lord. I don't want that to go away. I want to it to get strong. I don't want work to get in the way either.
Okay, gotcha. All right, awesome. All right, we're going to pray for that. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Carmen. Lord, we're going to meet you there. Thank you, Jesus, for opening those doors, God, that when you provide, Father, when you provide, you make a way. You make a way where there seems to be no way. And so I thank you, Jesus, for opening that door, God. And, you know, we close doors to the enemy, and God opens up doors, you know, for us. So we thank you, Jesus, that the doors that she's closed lately, recently, whatever that is so that you can open up doors in the future. Lord, just seal that, declare that, call that done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done right now. Amen. All right, 908-305.
Hello. Hi. I'm Pastor Randy. How are you?
Doing good. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Okay, this is Carol from New Jersey. How are you today?
Hi, Carol. I just spoke to you earlier, right?
You spoke to me yesterday. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Good, good. All right. This is Carol. All right. Let me for a moment, Carol. Let's pray for you, and then we'll talk a little bit. Yeah, we love to pray for people. We'll pray for you however often you need it and or want it or desire and want to talk and speak and share. But thank you, Jesus, for Carol, God. We thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her to open up to the things of God and close the door to the enemy. Open up her heart and her mind to the ways of God. Close her mind and her heart to the ways of the world, the ways of the flesh, the ways of the enemy. We thank you, Jesus, that you do that. That's how you do it. You close those doors, and you open up more doors. It's like a prophecy over Carmen just now. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, for opening her up, Father, and showing her the doors that need to be closed. Sometimes we got to close doors before new doors can open up. So I thank you, Jesus, for showing her specifically what doors to close, how to close them, when to close them, and then open up. God can open up those doors before you. So thank you, Jesus, for my sister. And, bring that deliverance, bring that needed presence of God to show her your way, Father, to like in the old days when the Israelites had, you know, the cloud leading them. There was, they knew exactly where God was leading them because they had a cloud leading them. It was so obvious. Lord, make it so obvious for her that she'll know it's like the cloud leading her. It's very, very plain in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Carol, what's going on tonight? How are you? What are you going to pray about?
Yeah, I guess when we talked yesterday, it was really a blessing. And I had a question for you because I got a call back about that, about the vaccine and all that stuff. Now, I went... Two questions. I went on Daystar. I called Daystar, by the way. Called them.
Okay.
And I said, I had a pastor. I didn't give your name. I said, a pastor that said that, you know, they thought you were a merchandising thing for the person that called, and I prayed with them. And they said, we really try not to. I've called them many times and prayed with them. And I looked at their website, and they had books and music. I didn't think it was anything to do with – I didn't know what you were talking about. I really didn't. I thought it was kind of unfair to do that to these people. And my thought was, and I'm going to mention it to you, if you really love the Lord, why don't you call up that lady Joni and tell her that you're sorry that her husband died and have some empathy for her and compassion. It really bothered me. It sounded so very unfair to these people. Next thing.
Right.
Horrible. I think it's horrible that we do that to one another as Christians. Hold on. I think it's horrible we do that to Christians as one another. I can't. That's so mean to me. If I had somebody die like that, and maybe you should call her up and say, I'm really sorry your husband died. And the person on the other line said, we don't try to live our lives that way. Now, the merchandise they had was music and books. Everything had to do with something to Jesus. Now, I'm not sure where you're coming from, but it really bothered me a lot. Number two, I happen to be a musician and a singer. I have songs that I want to sing. I have a book that I've written, and now I'm debating, man. I must be doing this because of maybe I want to. So you might think I want to just sell these things because I want money. No, it's because I need to get the music out and a book out. Now I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't even do that because after all, I don't want to think somebody thinks that I'm trying to rip off people or merchandise. I mean, please explain it because it really did bother my heart a lot.
Okay. Oh, I don't mind.
Thank you.
Explaining. Yeah, you're welcome. I've talked many times that Marcus Lamb was used greatly in my life. You know, I'm not a teacher. I'm a prophet. I'm not a pastor so much. I'm a prophet. And when I give words, information, you obviously didn't listen that well, that close. Maybe you came in late or something. I'm not sure. It happens all the time. But I have definitely, you know, spoken to people about, you know, this, how sad it is that this happens. And that I've always said Marcus Lamb has a heart after God, on and on and on. And so maybe you missed out on that. So I'll make that clear now. Go back and listen to my shows and see where I've spoken, you know, beautifully about him. But as a prophet, Carol, I have to say, you know, what God's telling me, what God's showing me. And in the Bible, you look at, if you look in the Bible, maybe you need to look in the Word of God a little bit more to see where, when prophets spoke about kings and leaders, they didn't go, well, I'm sorry I have to say this to the king. But, you know, when Isaiah walks into, you know, Hezekiah, I mean, this is one of many examples. Isaiah the prophet, you know who Isaiah is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know
Isaiah.
The Bible as well as you would. No.
Well, that's okay. But you read the Old Testament a little bit. Okay, I'm just make sure you know Isaiah. Isaiah, a well-known prophet, a man of God. He walks into the king's bedchambers, into his bedroom, and he had a word from the Lord for him. He says, get your house in order because you're going to die and you're not going to recover. And then he just walks out, right? And so, you know, the king turns his face to the wall and he starts telling God these things, you know. And the prophet turns around, you know, a few minutes later, and God says, go back and tell him that I'm going to give him 15 more years. You know, so I don't think that it was real cute or sweet of him to walk in there and tell the king that he's going to die, but and that he's not going to recover. But, you know, maybe you just don't understand the prophetic realm Carol. I'm not sure exactly how familiar you are with the prophet.
I don't understand that.
Okay, well, let me finish. I'll let you finish.
Sure.
Please let me finish. And I thank you for asking the questions. I don't mind the questions at all. And so I deal with this stuff all the time, so it's not anything new for you to say that. You know, when I dealt with Marcus, if you paid attention to everything that I said, which obviously you didn't, or you wouldn't be saying this, but the fact that this school, I have to prophesy the word of the Lord that God gives me, but if you listen to all of it, I spoke very highly of Marcus in many different ways and how God used him in my life many years ago. I have no vendetta against him. He's never done anything bad to me, wrong to me. None of them have. But when you get a word from the Lord, I have to speak the word of the Lord, not what you think, not what you feel, not what anybody else thinks or feel, but to make it really plain and upfront, I spoke much about pray for his family, pray for them. It's a difficult time, but when God gets ready to, when you warn somebody about something over and over and over and over again and tell them to quit merchandising the word of God, quit selling Jesus, quit selling Revelation. If you're a fivefold ministry person, I've made this very clear for many years. If you're a fivefold ministry person, or if you have the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher gift from God, then you don't merchandise that. You don't sell Jesus. The Bible talks very clearly that you don't do that. Jesus ran out the money changers and that were buying and selling. And he told them, my house is a house of worship, a house of prayer. And you've turned it into a den of thieves, merchandising. And so, you know, that's kind of it in a nutshell. But, of course, you know, I spoke very well of Marcus. He was a great man. I think I even said in heaven when he died, went to heaven, that Jesus probably met him at the pearly gates going, man, you did a great job, Marcus. But it's only one thing you did that was not good, and that was merchandising, you know. But welcome to heaven. You did a great job. So you didn't hear all that?
I came in a little late, and I just thought it sounded a little bit uncompassionate to me.
I understand. It's a good question. I'm glad you're bringing it up.
But it did kind of bother me. I'm like, I'm thinking about that all day. I'm like, why would you say something like that? I do feel very strongly about the fact that Christian people, when somebody's down, they kick them in the face. And literally, I mean, for people that fall down, rather than pastors like yourself, anyone, going to them and actually helping them. I've never seen such – it really bothers me about Christianity, and I've been a Christian for many years, by the way, and I maybe not don't know the Bible well, as you could see, but people look on at Christians and say, you know, when they're down, man, why would I want to follow that faith when they don't go around people that are hurting? They just crush them. And I don't think that's the love of Jesus either. And it really bothers me.
Right.
And so I have to make a point to make that too, you know, and to, you know, if somebody in my family, anything that happened, it's like, okay, we'll just kick them in the face and tell them. It doesn't sound like the love of Jesus to me. And I might not know the Bible as well as you do, but just looking on as a Christian, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Just a thought, and I just need to tell pastors that. My second thought is that I heard what you said, but I still wonder, and I would challenge you to call that lady and tell her, I am sorry your husband died. Have you done that?
No, I have not done that.
How come?
Well,
I mean, it just shows the love of Jesus. Doesn't it say to love you? Your neighbor as yourself?
Absolutely. I've sent much love toward them many times.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry if I make a judgment, but it just bothered my heart because just don't get this type of – I don't understand that type of Christianity, please. I just don't get it. Never will. And it really bothers my heart because people look on and say to me, they say to me, I would never follow that Christianity. You guys don't even love one another.
Oh, I love them dearly. I love them dearly enough because I think when Jesus told people the truth, he told them the truth because he loved them. When he called them – serpents and they were worshipers. When he told the Jewish leaders that they were that Satan was their father, I don't think he did that because he hated them. Do you? Do you think Jesus hated anybody? Do you think that when he called them full of dead men's bones and serpents and do you think that
so
he was telling it because he hated them or disrespected them or what do you think he was doing?
I don't know. I just know there's got to be truth with love. Is it truth with love? And you have to know that from your heart. But it doesn't sound, just listening in, it doesn't sound that way to me. But you, God knows your heart. But I truthfully am sick and tired of going to a Christian world that we live in, and it's not the love of Jesus. Because on my end, guess what? The people tell me about that. They're like, how come I'm not going back to that church? Those people didn't show me the love of Jesus. So it's something to think about, just because we all have our different gifts, but just because you're a pastor or whatever it is, and God bless you, or you don't crush people's spirits. Yeah, it's something to think about. It really is. I just have to make the next point. Now, I mentioned to you, I am a singer, a songwriter. I have music, okay? Now, I don't know how to get my music out. If I am not trying to push, quote-unquote merchandising, but I don't know how to get the music God put on my heart. I'm an artist. I'm a singer. How do I get music out to the world that God has given me original music to help people if I thought everything was merchandising? I don't know the difference because I don't know many
pastors or singers. Can't you give it away? Why do you have to sell it?
I don't even have anything to sell. I don't even want to sell any music.
But the point that you're making is that you're saying I'm calling it merchandising. I'm saying, well, why do you have to merchandise it? Why can't you just give it away?
I will absolutely give it away. Somebody helped me to do that. I haven't been
able to find a Christian artist to
do that.
Then that's not merchandising. You're mixing up the message here, because merchandising is taking revelation from Jesus and selling it for money.
So I guess I don't understand the difference, Pastor Randy. In other words, if you have something to sell, you're a business person, right? You're a business person and you sell something. You might have a book, like I have a book in mind, music. If I sell that and it's music that I've originally written, okay, which I really think is beautiful, I play it and they're like, how come you don't get that out to the public? It's absolutely beautiful. Now, I don't know how to do that as a Christian in our world, because I have no idea how to do that. So how do you do that without, quote-unquote, merchandising? I don't even want money for it. I just want to
give it away. Give it away. Give it to people and tell people, you know, if this blesses you, you can bless me back. You know, merchandising isn't saying we don't take up offerings. Merchandising is saying I got this product and you can't get my revelation from Jesus or my song from Jesus without money. That's what I'm saying. So hang on a second. So what I tell people all the time, thank you. What I tell people all the time is give it away. You got a revelation from Jesus, give it to people. And when they get blessed, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, man, thank you for giving it to me. That blessed me. I'm going to give back into your life. How do I give into your life? How do I bless you? And that's the way we teach that it should be, Carol. So you understand what I'm saying? So when we talk about merchandising, I'm talking about times that Marcus Lamb has come on the show and he had some oil from some guy who had an anointing for healing, and he would say, you know, if you want to get this oil, you know, you give $40 a month or something like that. I remember what it was. And you know, so I tell people, I said, that's merchandising, whether it's Marcus Lamb or you or me or anybody. If you're saying this oil, anointing oil will heal you, and you need it's going to cost, in order for you to get it, it's going to cost you $40, and you're not going to get it until you send your money in. To me, that's merchandising. Send the oil out for free and tell people, if you get healed or blessed, and if you want to, send back some money. You know, send an offering, send a blessing. That way you're giving. The Bible says, give and it shall be given back to you, not sell, and you shall make money. You see what I'm saying? It's very simple, very plain. The whole Bible is full of giving, not selling. So we're not business people.
I agree.
We're Christians who give. We give God, and when you give to God, the Bible says it's given back to you, not selling. But when you give, it shall be given back to you. Why? Because you're giving something that God gave you, and the people are going to value it, and the preacher's going to ban. You know, instead of buying that CD from you, you would have been selling that CD, Carol, for $10. I'm going to give you $1,000 because it blessed me so much. Or $15.95 or whatever you sell it for, and the people are going to be going like, you know, you missed a blessing because I would have given you $1,000 because that was such a good song. I just feel like I want to give you $1,000, but you've been asking $10.99 for it. You see what I'm saying?
Some So my what I'm asking is, in other words, what is the difference? Because I personally feel guilty about, and I'm like, Lord, I want to get my music out. I don't care if I give it away for free. I don't even care about, but how do you do this? If I went to you, you're my pastor. I'm like, how do I do this? Uh-huh. How would you tell me to do that? I'm like, I don't want to give it away for, I don't want anything for, I just really want to share my gift with people. I don't care about the money.
Well, why don't
how
you
would,
share
if
with
you were my
walk
pastor,
up,
what would
up,
you do?
Go to your church and get some CDs of your music. And walk up to people and say, you know, I don't know you, but I have a song here I think will bless you. Take it and listen to it. And my address is on there. My phone number is on there. If you want to bless me, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. And just what give it away. Just give it to people. And then put in there your address, your phone number. And if you get blessed by it, you want to give me a call and send some money my way, that would be great. But at least you're not selling. You're not saying, if you want this, you're going to have to pay me money for it before you get it. That's not Jesus. Jesus didn't get on the cross and say, okay, you got to pay for all this before I'm going to pay for it. No, he gave it away. He gave everything away. He didn't sell anything. He had Judas to sell for him. Judas was the seller. Judas was the one who wanted to take the oil that Jesus, that the woman who came to anoint Jesus. He said, we could have sold that. We could have made a lot of money off of that. And Jesus goes, you don't even know what you're talking about, boy. You are really messed up. This woman, what she's done for me has done it for my burial. Judas didn't care about the gospel. He wanted to make money. He was interested in money. And even though he was a disciple of Jesus, it was wrong.
Oh, I must apologize because I probably came in late and listened. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But I did, you know,
that's
I apologize
okay.
now that I've had a chance to talk to you because I came in late and I'm like, but even
that's
so,
okay.
I hear your heart. So that's what, you know, I have to straighten up because it bothered me a lot. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm glad
I have
you called
to talk
back
to you
in.
About it.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. And as you can tell, I love the fact that you called in. Believe me, I could just click you off right now. I could have clicked you off and hung you up. I could have done that real quick. Well, I don't like her talking to me like that. But, you know, I love it. I don't mind answering questions. I don't mind this. In fact, I'm glad you did. And as you can tell, I welcome it. I'm not running from it or hiding from it. So thank you for doing it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, too. So if you could pray for me that God would make a way, because I felt like, thank you. I just want to have an understanding of it, because right now I'm kind of in a transition for church because I don't know where God wants me with COVID, and I'm praying about it. So I need to find a good church where they can actually help. So I'm glad you're here to talk to me. Thank you. I appreciate the ministry.
You're so welcome.
I really do. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you too, and you can call in with any question you want. Anything I ever say, if you have a question about it, I love to answer questions, even if people hate what I say. I love if they want to talk. Most of the time, people don't call in and talk to me about it. They'll talk behind my back. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it very much.
My deal is, listen, I've dealt with anxiety for many years. Wrote a book about it, okay? And I don't have anxiety anymore. You know why? Because I talk to people now.
Awesome.
And I've come a long way. I talk to people about how I feel about things. And you know what?
That's
God has set me free. So guess what? I can have a conversation with you, and I don't feel guilty about it anymore. So you know what?
Awesome.
Jesus has taken me down a road that is wonderful, and I tell everybody about it, and the people I talk to, Pastor Randy, are people with anxiety and depression. And they're like, how do you understand me?
Smart.
I said, because I've been there, and I said, Jesus will set you free. So I just want to let you know that.
Yeah. Well,
thank
I
you.
Love that, and I appreciate that very much. Okay, Carol, I'll pray for everybody to go ahead and mute you, and thank you very much for calling in, and you can ask any question you want about anything.
Thank you.
I love questions.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you. God bless.
All right. You're so welcome. Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Carol. All right, let's pray for you. That God, we just thank you for opening up that church for her. Thank you for that beautiful book she's going to write about anxiety, and God, that she can give that to people, and when people read it and they get free, they're going to say, man, how can I help you? How can I bless you? You gave that to me. You didn't try to sell me something. You gave it to me. How do you do that? You give Jesus away? You gave Jesus away. I thought everybody sold Jesus. No, you gave him away to me. And now I want to bless you. Now I want to honor you. Now I want to give you $1,000 instead of $10.95 you're going to sell for that. But I want to give you $500. I'm going to give you $50. I'm going to bless you. I want to bless you because you gave to me. Everybody else wants to sell. But no, you gave to me. Thank you for giving, for God so loved the world that he gave. And thank you, Jesus, for that. And you're teaching her how to give. Teaching her how to multiplied. Jesus took the bread when he fed the 5,000. It really was like 30,000 with all the women and children. He took the bread, 5 loaves and 2 fish, 1 and 2. He took the bread. What did he do? He took the bread. He blessed it, said, Father, thank you for it. He broke it, gave it to the disciples, and the disciples sold it to the people. Is that what it says? They sold it to the people? Trying to raise money? No, they gave it. Jesus gave it, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples. Remember the word gave. And they gave it to the people. And as they gave it away, it multiplied and increased. That's your word for how to get blessed. That's your word for how to get your stuff out there. If it truly is God, if it truly is blessed, and you give it away, people are going to go, man, that's, you know, how are you giving that away? You should be selling this for $1,000. I'm going to give you $1,000 for that. It was amazing. You know, yeah. And you start giving and trust God to bring it back to you instead of manipulating people. Like, you're not going to get my book unless you give me my 1095. Then I'm going to send it to you. Of course, you'll say a lot sweeter. I'm not going to give that to you until you send me 1095. Then I'm going to send it to you, okay? Either way, it's the same spirit. It's nasty, in my opinion. Anyway, that's how I feel. I think I'm going to change it anytime soon. But thank you for calling in tonight, dear, and I appreciate that. And may God open up your church for you, give you safety, keep you from that anxiety and that thing that you're talking to God's delivering you from. That is sweet Jesus stuff, Carol. Thank you so much for sharing that tonight. And open it up for her, God, and bless her, increase her, and let her know, God, that you're watching over her, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, let's go here and see 903. I'm going to take all my calls. Sorry, talk to 903-253. Hello? Tried 903 earlier, and they were maybe asleep or gone to the store. 903-253, you there? All right, let's go to 469. Wait a minute. Just click on 469. 469 hangs up. Her hand down. Maybe. Okay, if you want to talk, we've got, it's only 11:48. I can either, oh, there you go. All right. I think it's Barbara, right? 469?
Yes, sir. Hi, Prophet Randy. I really enjoyed
the
show. That was so beautiful, 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 beautiful.
What's that?
You just ministered to my heart. I wanted to pray for Leslie and Angel and Gabe. They've been
Leslie.
On my heart. Mm-hmm. Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E. And uh-huh. I want to pray for Angel. And Gabriel is Gabe.
Okay, let me get that down. Okay, Gabe.
Yeah,
Angel,
we call him Gabe, and Angel, my daughter, and Leslie,
right.
My oldest.
Leslie,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, Leslie. All right, hang on a second here. I'm going to mute you for a second. I do that. Thank you for calling in. She did not listen. You clearly, okay. This is, I think this is Nicole. Thank you, Nicole. So says, has this person really listened into the show? you know she didn't, and that's a good question. That's what I was asking. Don't think she has heard what you have said, this issue. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. She did not listen. Yeah. You clearly explained your responsibility as a prophet. Yes. Not your assignment. That's how it comes. I love it when people take up with me, man. This is awesome. Thank you, Nicole. Being a singer is not the same as being the fivefold ministry. Yet, there you go. You said that 100 times. Yes. Yeah, I think she's a new listener. This is off and on. And I was glad she asked that, though. And I'm glad you answered it for me. You did a great job, too. Thank you. Thank God for people that take up for you. I love that. I love it when the people of God stand up for you. I love it. I really love it. Thank you, Nicole, for that. You did beautiful and explaining things to her. Oh, thank you very much. Well, you know, I enjoy it when people you know, I mean, I've had a few people on the show tell me when we were doing the Trump Biden thing, they said, man, I was binding you up when you started talking about Trump being out. And, you know, I was glad they told me that. It didn't offend me. You know, Nikki from Florida said that. She was the first one, I think. And then other people said, yeah, I said the same thing. I'm going like, it's okay. I would have done the same thing. Actually, if I hadn't heard from God, I'd have been doing it. I would have been rebuking me too. So, you know, I hope that we open up the table to God's people to know that it's okay to question. It's a different thing to curse. Like Nikki said, no, shit, I wasn't cursing you. I just didn't agree with you. I said that I love it. I love disagreement. I don't mind at all. You know, you can tell me if you want. I mean, I love it. And I may speak plainly about it, but, you know, but I love it. I actually love it. And I love that she called in. I love that she took the courage to call in and speak in exactly the way she did. It was fine with me. And as you can tell, answering questions. And I got a chance to explain to her, you know, what I really think. And she just hasn't listened to all of what we've said. So that's going to happen sometimes. And thank God for those who give me I love the opportunity to explain it again. I love it. I love it all the way. All right. So thank you, Lord, for Gabe tonight. Barbara, good morning. Just to pray for Gabe. We thank you, Jesus, for Gabe. And we ask you to bless him, God. Let the anointing rest upon Gabe, God, to find his way, to be able to find his way. Where it's not people leading him, people guiding him so much as him finding his way with God. The Holy Spirit lead Gabe and guide Gabe, that Gabriel, in Jesus' name, that he will be able to be led. Because you know what? Once people learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, then we don't have to worry about him as much, right? Because they're going to be, we can trust it. You know, we can trust the Holy Spirit either way. But when you can trust the fact that, you know, that they are, you know, being led by the Lord, and letting them do that, then we can trust that we don't have to worry about them as much. We can still pray for them, but we don't have to worry about them as much because, you know what, they're being led by God. God's going to guide them. We can trust God to guide his people. And I thank you, Jesus, for guiding Gabe, and blessing him in Jesus' name and letting him know that, that it's not about somebody just telling you what to do. It's knowing that God is speaking to you, that God is helping you, that God is showing you, that you're feeling something in your heart, that God is saying to you, and he is the one who wants to help you and guide you and lead you. Yeah, so in Jesus' name. Amen. Angel, Lord, pray for Angel tonight, God. We thank you for Angel. God, all the sorrow that she's gone through, the different things of sorrow. Sorrow can come from many different reasons. Sometimes godly sorrow comes because we feel godly sorrow toward, we feel like we're coming short. And because, you know what, Angel, I don't know anybody that doesn't, that's walking in the full glory of God. So sometimes I have sorrow myself because I know I'm not walking in the full glory of God. So I have this godly sorrow. Like, God, I want to walk in your glory. I want to walk in your glory. Thank you for letting me know that I'm not walking in your glory like I can walk in your glory. Thank you for letting me know that. Thank you for showing me. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for personally telling me, Randy, I have more for you. That godly sorrow is not, it's to turn your heart toward the fullness of my glory, the fullness of my blessing that comes, and that no man can reverse the blessing of God. No man. They can try. In fact, you start finding out it's fun to watch people try to turn it around. It's fun to watch people try to turn it around. It's fun. It is fun. It's fun to watch them try and God protect you. It's fun to watch it, to watch God take up for you. It's fun. It's exciting. It's enjoyable. It's awesome to watch God, you know, somebody trying to take you down and God saying, hey, don't touch my baby. That's my baby over there. That's my baby doll. That's my girl. That's my boy. You know, I'm watching over them. They're doing my will. And I protect people who do my will in a very special way. It means somebody who's God is blessing to do a certain thing. You know, anointing comes to do a thing. Not just to do anything, but do a thing. So God show Angel the thing that you want her to do, God. You have a thing that you anointed her for. She's saying, let that anointing kick in. Father, we pray for Leslie tonight, God. We thank you for Leslie. We thank you for her heart, God. We thank you for the tree that you've planted within her, God. That tree can, the roots of it can go down into the depths of her soul, the depths of the Spirit of God inside of her, and drink in from the depth of the love of God inside of her. For the love of God is deep, It's wide. It's broad. It's awesome. And I think it's used for showing Leslie about your love, more about your love than anything. Reveal your love to her, God, in ways that she's never seen or known before. She's seen and known it in many different ways, but you're going to show her more ways of how your love will predominantly overcome everything. Love overcomes everything. Because when you love, people hurt you. You say, God, I love them. I want to love them. Help me love them. And when you ask God to help you love them, let them forgive you. It gets washed away. It gets love is conquers all things. Love is supersedes everything. When we walk in love, we can never lose, because the greatest strategy of the enemy is to get us in bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. Oh, it's happened to me a time or two, and boy, did it take me down. And I even had a recent bout with that. I've talked about it publicly on the show here, where I dealt with some things that kind of took me by surprise. I went, I can't believe I'm starting to get bitter about that. What's wrong with me? You know, I try to talk about that stuff so that people will see that it can happen to any of us. You know, I'm used by God just like other people are used by God, and I can still be taken down. I can still be messed up. And so, so I thank you, Jesus, that you know, you're showing her the way, Father. You're showing her how to prosper. The biblical prosperity is, I would that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Lord, show Leslie the soul realm, the place where you do your work, the place where we change, the place where we all change. We all need to be changed. There's not one person that has their whole soul completely rearranged and changed by God. Thank you, Lord, for your engrafted word, God. You engraft your word. You engraft your flesh in us so that we can become like you. And the word became flesh. The word of God became flesh. And thank you, Jesus, for engrafting your word in Leslie, God. In Jesus' name, let that presence of your flesh, you know, we talk about the flesh of Jesus. We're talking about something. Jesus didn't have anything wrong with him. His flesh was glory. His flesh, our flesh, and but his flesh was, right, his body, his flesh was glory. We thank you, Jesus, for the glory of God upon her. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, y'all, if I don't have any more callers, I'm going to call it a night. So if you want prayer or want to talk or something, please get your hand up. Click one on your phone. Yes, Shannon says, will you pray for me? Of course. Thank you, Jesus, for Shannon tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given him a heart to feel. You've given him a heart to feel, to experience feelings. Okay. Feel sick. Okay, feel sick tonight. One second. I'm sick in my stomach. About this. About what? About, oh, okay, hang on a second. Pray for Deborah Slumjack too. Thank you, Deborah. Pray for me. I'll go to the gym hoping to get real people and try to overcome a fear of betrayal. Yeah, the best way to be fit, because sometimes people judge us by our external, you know, and when I say they judge us by our external, you know, I know people that have people that hurt them that look just like me or something close to me. I've had people who got hurt by pastors who talk like I do and talk about the things I talk about. So they automatically judge you externally on what they've had been hurt from before. So what we have to do is we have to break that barrier, as you know, and go and try to, you know, hey, you know, have a little conversation with them. like the lady who just called in, Carol, it just called in. And, you know, I listened to her share her heart, and I could hear her heart hurting in there. And, well, maybe she just doesn't understand what I talk about, what's really going on. She hasn't had a chance to listen to everything. So it gave me a great opportunity to explain to her. So here she had an image of me of doing something that I really wasn't doing. I'm doing my job, but at the same time, I do my job. I'm very compassionate when I do my job. Very, very loving. I love Marcus Lamb. I've talked about it, how God's used him, and you know, in my life. But as a prophet, I have to speak what God shows me, and I can't apologize to people for speaking what God gives me. Yeah. And I did. I feel like I did it in love. I feel like I spoke not just the truth, but the prophetic word in truth and love. And but she didn't think so. So you know what? We talked it out. She allowed her to talk and say whatever she wanted to say, and without getting offended. Hopefully, I don't think I got offended. If I did, God help me. But you know, we were able to solve a problem a little bit. You know, I don't know how totally solved it was, but I was able to share with her how I really feel, what I've really been saying, what's really been going on, and I think that it helped her a little bit to see things a little bit differently. It was a beautiful moment. I thought I was glad that it happened. But that's what happens when people. She was judging me off things. She heard just a couple of things that I said. Maybe she's been hurt by people who have done that and were compassionate, very loving, and you know, understanding. And some of the things have been really sad that I've had to share, but I have to share them because you know God speaks to me, and I know it's difficult. I've even said I know this is difficult to take, but I have to say this, and so please bear with me. As I you know, do my job and do what God called me to do. And can I perfect that? Can I do it better? Yes, absolutely. I'm sure I can, and there's no doubt about it. I listened to her. I thought maybe I could do it better. Maybe I could do it better, you know. And so I took it as a rebuke, you know, and I'm going to listen to it. Can I do my job better? I certainly hope so. You know, I hope I can. I don't mind listening to that. I don't mind hearing somebody saying, you know, I feel like you're uncaring, whatever, you know. I just, if she's thinking that, other people might be thinking that. So maybe I can change it a little bit. I still have to speak the what God gives me. Maybe I could change some. Yeah, I could do that. So, I changed. I opened up my heart for change tonight. So I think that's a great thing. And I think we need to do it with people who – you know, it took me a long time, Shannon, to break the ice with people, to learn that I could break the ice with people by just walking up to them and just, you know, being friendly and saying hi and joking around with them. I can joke around with people. I can have fun with people. People think I enjoy people. And so, you know, but I didn't always enjoy them. I never let my enjoyment show, I should say. Now I let my enjoyment show that how I enjoy people, how I love talking to them, and you know that kind of thing. So it breaks a lot of that off, and may God help you to be able to break it off by you know reaching out more and breaking that thing. It took me a long time to do that. Hopefully, it won't take as long as I took. All right, Noel says you handled it wonderfully. Really, Noel? Come on. Thank you. She has a tender heart and probably 10 more that questioned. So good she asked you could address. Yes, me too. I'm glad she did. And I'm learning all the time. And you handled it perfectly. She said, I don't know about that, but thank you. I appreciate that. But I could do better. I can always do better. Do better. So sometimes the job that I have is difficult because you have to say some really tough things. I don't think when Jesus called them snakes and vipers, I think he is love, and he was love. But sometimes we have to talk tough. Nineveh walked into a whole city and said, in 40 days you're going down. That was not compassionate at all, right? But it broke them through. They got delivered. God had mercy on them. So, you know, you just, the things that we do as prophets, yes, can you learn to do better? Absolutely. and I'm gonna try to learn from that tonight. To be more often. Sometimes some people wonder why I so often we speak about the same things and repeat things. Because we have people like that have been wounded and hurt, and they need to make sure they hear me say that I love that person, and I'm sorry that I have to say this, and I truly am sorry I have to say it. It's difficult to say some of these things, but I have to say them, because when it comes to pass, they're going to say, well, how come you didn't say that? Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, yeah, as a prophet, I can't do that. But handle it better, yeah, I can definitely do that. So thank you for your prayers. I'm still recovering from your Trump-Biden prophecy. Bless your heart. How do you think I feel, girl? I'm still trying to recover from that, man. I mean, that was a tough one. That was tough. And I would never forget, Noel, when it came out of my mouth that night, and he will not win any of them. No, he will not win any. He had 60 lawsuits, right? Yeah. And when it came out of my mouth, it's like God sets me up, man. He sets me up. He uses me and abuses me in the most beautiful ways. And I'll say something, you know, he'll inspire me to say something, and then I can't believe I just said that. Oh my gosh! But I know it's the Lord, you know, so I don't retract it. I don't retract it. But at the same time, you're going like, wow, that was no. He's not going to win any of them. He's got 60. I think about 60 lawsuits. He's not going to win any of those lawsuits. Not one of them. Oh God, what have I done? You know, but I don't really worry about it too much. I used to worry about it. Now I don't worry about it near as much. But it's an unusual job. And I love it. I'm very privileged, and I'm very blessed to be called to do what I'm doing. And I know that I don't do it all perfect. I know. Thank you, Noel, for saying that. But I know that I don't. I know I need to grow, and I will grow through this. But I may be more stronger than ever, and yet more loving than ever. Maybe that's what I need to do. Be stronger, be even stronger than what she said, and be more loving than what she asked to be. Maybe I can do that. Maybe that's what God wants. I don't know. It's all good. All right, Deborah from one of our hosts. Deborah, who had a show tonight. I suppose it's because okay. Can you pray for me? Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for Deborah tonight, Father. I thank you for her service to God through PGN. I thank you, Lord, for her service and all those who serve God through PGN. Thank you, Jesus, for. I thank you for rewarding her, God. I thank you for. For bringing her, every time you bring us through a brokenness, you open us up to more new things. And I thank you, Lord, for the new realm, for the new places you're bringing Deborah to, God, territory she's never been in before. You're walking on the water. I'm sure you've done that many times in the spirit, but I see like a new arena of walking on the water. And stepping out and walking on the water at another level than you ever have. I think it's more about how big the storms are, how much bigger the storms are going to be. Because the bigger the storms are, the more threat there is to being taken out, the more threat there is to being messed up and destroyed. And so God, bring you to another level of, because when Peter stepped out of the boat, there was a pretty big storm coming, you know, and he was aware of that storm. And yet he did it anyway because he got his eyes on Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for Deborah, that you're causing her more and more and more, showing her how to never get her eyes off Jesus, to never lose Christ as her source, to never lose Christ as her source of hope. We don't look to people. We thank God for people. When people encourage us and build us up, thank God for that. But if we don't get to that, it's you and you alone, Jesus. Sometimes God brings us to these times where it's us and God alone. Sometimes we feel like, even though people aren't really against us that are close to us, but they're not just really, you know, as for us as we need sometimes. And so we go through that time of, you know, feeling like needy of confirmation, needy of comfort from others. And I do that. I do that all the time. But you know what? God takes me through those seasons where he says, I'm not going to let anybody comfort you right now. I'm going to be the one that's going to comfort you. But I'm jealous over you. I want you to see that I'm going to comfort you. I'm very jealous over you. I don't want you to to get off into making people your source, making the people for your things, for your comfort. Yes, I'll bring them. They'll come. But I want to be the ultimate source of your comfort, the ultimate source of your provision. And so I go through those things, and it's cutting, and it's hard, and it's difficult. And sometimes I cry, I complain, you know, I whine a little bit and go, God, you know, I may not do it on the outside, but I do it on the inside. And I go, God, you know, what's going on here? Just give me your grace. Give me your favor. And I think, Lord, you're opening up more opportunities for her than ever. That you open up those opportunities for her, Jesus, in Jesus' name, where you will sustain her and keep her. You're showing her, you're going to show her the keeping power, that watching over me power of God, that ministry of the Holy Spirit watching over me. He's watching over me. Show me what to be. He's watching over me, showing me who he is. He's watching over me. Yeah, show me who he is. Thank you, Lord, that you're showing Deborah who you is, who you are. Thank you, Lord, for that. Blessing her with your names, tagging your names to her, imprinting your names, engrafting your names upon her heart, God. That's what you do. When you engrave your name upon our heart, we feel like we have to usually stand alone for a little while in certain ways. And at least that's what we feel like. And it's the prophet Elijah had to do it, had to stand alone. And God, it's just me. I'm the only one. You know, in many senses, he was the only one who was calling down fire, the only one I knew of. But the only one not bowing? No. Job was stood alone, and God brought him through that standing alone thing. Even his own wife had to say, you know, why don't you just curse God now? And God allowed that because he wanted Job to stand alone at times to do a work in him where he could receive double, where he could be multiplied and increased in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I thank you that you are her comfort. You are her provision. You are her source, God, in Jesus' name. She looks to you and hangs on to you and dwells in you and looks to you, Jesus. You are her. You're the one who says, you're doing a great job. You're the one who says, shows up like Jesus. The Father showed up in a cloud. And nobody else was saying it. The Father showed up in a cloud. He said, you know, this is my beloved Son. And I am well pleased. Thank you, Lord, for giving her that experience, Jesus, that you care. You show her that you're well pleased with her, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. That well pleasing of God, let it be done. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. He'll use her to heal hearts, God. Get people's hearts back on track with you, God, the heart healer. May it be raised up in Deborah in Jesus' name to heal the hearts. They can take their harps down from the willow tree and sing the songs of Zion again in Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all, if nobody else raises their hand tonight, I'm going to call it a night. Wow. Pray for me as I'm still out of town. I went back to Dallas this weekend, and now I'm back again. So, Barbara says, you handle it in your season in the Lord. Amen. Oh, truth. And understanding God's sheep. Yeah. All right. Cool. I appreciate that. All right. I'm learning. I'm growing. You know, I love correction. I actually love it. Even if they're not right, you know, and everything, I still learn from it. I still want to grow from it. So I don't mind at all. I've had some people get pretty ugly before. And, you know, I just try to listen to them. Maybe I can help heal their heart. Maybe that's why this is going on, to bring healing to their heart, possibly. Someone else has hurt them. So, yeah. All right, y'all. I got to call it a night. I am actually tired. I've been working really hard. I'm not whining. Nobody said I'm whining, but I like working hard. I really do like working hard. And it makes you feel good, but sometimes I overdo it. I'm like a obsessive compulsive. I really get at it and go at it and don't stop until it's done. and sometimes I wear myself out. Well, I was doing it. All right, we're going to call it a night tonight, y'all. God bless everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for being my friends and friend of Jesus. And we love you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.